Good morning. This is Michael Novick, the chair of the KPFK Local Station Board. Today is Sunday, May 16th. We're having a regular business meeting of the KPFK LSB, and it's at 10:36 a.m. Our secretary, Janine Roan, will call the roll.
2021.
Yes, thank you, Bella. It's 2021 still.
Hey, Michael Adler had an excused absence, said he would try to join when he could. Michael Adler, are you on the call? Or he requested an excused absence, sorry. Alan Beek?
I mentioned earlier, I think Alan is having problems because he just moved in his phone. He's not able to use his phone, so he's still working on that, the last I heard.
Okay, thank you.
He moved into to a different location, so his line will not be reinstalled for a couple of more days.
Thank you. Fred Blair?
Present.
Thank you. Sandy Child?
I'm here.
Thank you. Bella DeSoto?
Present.
Thank you. Jan Goodman?
Jan, you're muted. And we'll just go on, Janine.
Okay, Eric C. Jacobson.
Here.
Thank you, Avelia Jones. Okay, Pat, going on to Ollie Lexa.
Here.
Thank you, Barbara Marbach.
Present.
Thank you, Michael Novick.
Present.
James Osborne.
Present.
Thank you. Robert Payne.
He typed in the chat.
He's present in the chat.
Okay. I did log him in, so I'm wondering if he does have the capability. Maybe he can let us know what his capabilities are today. Lawrence or Lydia Ponce.
Present.
Thank you. Lawrence Reyes.
Vicente.
Thank you. Rocio Rivas?
I am present.
Thank you. Paul Roberson?
Present.
Thank you. Janine Roan is present. Mansoor Sabah? He mentioned that he was he might be working the board today, so and might join or not. Oscar
and he Rivas. Asked for an excused absence, and this is Jan Goodman.
Thank you. Oscar Ulloa?
Present.
Thank you. Polina Vasiliev? Moving on to Beth von Guten. Oh, two people are in the waiting room. Hold on just a moment. Okay. Beth von Guten? I'm not hearing. Harvey Wasserman? Okay, moving on to Kiana Williams.
She's out of town.
Hello, this is Beth.
Thank you, Beth. Yes, I can. Thank you. You will be more present. I'm renaming you right now. So I'll go through. Sorry, just wanted to read name. So now going back to Alan Beek.
He is excused.
I understand. He didn't ask for it directly, Bella. I just wanted to go over the people.
No, he sent an email, but the email was before his line was disconnected. He sent an email to me, and I share that with all of you, also at the Governance Committee and the Finance.
All right. I hadn't seen it. I'm sorry. Okay. So we have Jan Goodman, who I believe has joined us now.
I'm here.
Thank you. Present. And Avelia Jones, have you joined the meeting? Okay, so she is an absence. And then we also have Mansoor Sabah, just in case he joined us. Polina Vasiliev. And Beth Von Guten has joined us. If you could mark yourself as present again, I'm sorry. And Harvey Wasserman, I have his absence. Harvey, are you there? Keanu Williams. Okay, so she is an absent. I'm sorry?
James Osborne is also absent?
Yes, no, he's here. He answered the call, Bella.
Oh, okay. Let me mark him.
Is that the secretary do her job?
Who has a phone number ending in 0222? Is that a member?
Sorry, Michael Novick. This is Andrew Weiss. Oh, that was muted.
Okay, thank you. Sure.
I'm a member.
Okay, so we have 17 present.
Okay, thank you. So that is a quorum. Please, if you're not speaking, mute yourself so we don't have to deal with the... Sorry, I was muted. If you're not speaking, please mute yourself. And if you're on the phone, you can mute yourself with, I believe it's star 6. If you want to raise your hand and you're on a phone, it's star 9. We'll give a hand raise function. And please try not to call out or speak out without receiving I see there's some text in the chat from Robert Payne. He says, Payne is listening. I type notes. The delay of typing allows a few moments of reflection and careful consideration of my comments. I prefer to avoid interjecting comments without a pause to think. And then... it says Mansoor, but I guess that's a comment from Robert about Mansoor. Excellent request of funding this morning.
Michael, I just got through. May I speak for a second?
Sure, please.
Yeah, I'm board hopping. Present. I'm board hopping because of emergency situation that we have. We didn't have. We had some troubles this morning to have a board ride. So I'm board hopping, and I'll keep an eye on. I'm going to listen online if I need to. I'll come in and cast a vote. Thank you.
Okay. So please, Mark Mansoor, present.
I've also, Michael, added the agenda into the chat as a PDF.
Yeah. Okay. So I would like to ask Lydia Ponce to begin with a land acknowledgement and a call to us to, bring our best selves to this meeting. Lydia?
Good morning, relatives. It's been a rough 3 weeks. It's just, I don't know if y'all are feeling the weight and the heaviness of modern day genocide going all around the world. And let's put our good words to use as medicine today in reaching all over and around the world with our intentions for Colombia, for Palestine and Israel, for just the fires now here in LA, and having a few people that I know that are evacuated and waiting to hear from them that they're okay. So this is a time now where we really need to call upon our gentle sides. And I'm really asking that you keep yourselves muted. And it's not because there's enthusiasm and good words being shared. I don't read all those emails, and I know that we're better than all that. I do, in my heart of hearts, because we have children, because we have pets, because we have plants, and we have all this life around us. And even if you don't have a big family, you can go outside and take note of all the beautiful nature. And I think that that's what we're here about. We're here about the air, the water, good food, the good cultural music, and the balance of ourselves and being connected, not disconnected. So with that, I'm going to say we acknowledge these lands as the Tonga land, and we give thanks for the elders and for the ancients to have us clumsily stumbling along in our lives and picking ourselves up in one another. In this conversation today, to the northwest, Chumashlan, to the north, Tataviam, and to the south, Hachiman, and so many more, all the way to San Diego, Kumeyaay, on both sides of that illusionary power of that border. And I just ask that you please be gentle with yourselves and with each other, and that we do these good words for our own health, to help all the loved ones we have around us and those that are far away. Aho mitakviyasen.
Aho mitakviyasen to all my relations, if people don't know what that means. And I believe we need to approve the agenda, the draft agenda was proposed by the Governor's Committee. Are there any objections?
Michael, this is Eric. I do have one item that I'd like to add under new business, and I was just finalizing the language. Very brief statement about the ongoing atrocities in Israel-Palestine.
Okay, so
basically, that's a one sentence that I'll put in the chat for people to glance at, or I can recite them. I was hoping for unanimous consent.
Okay, so we will take it up on the new business. I think Mr. Reyes also has a new business item, and we'll try to get to both of those if we can complete the rest of our business timely.
Thank you.
We should be able to get to that.
Mr. Chair, I have some business as well. Thank you. I have some new business. I would like it to be referred to the next governance committee meeting, and it has to do with the issue of the Maestro recording and operation, so that every chair of every committee has access and understands and is given instructions to conduct business with Maestro, since Maestro is the National Pacifica conference system that has been used for so many years. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So we'll take it up. People should be aware then. I see Mr. Reyes has a hand up too. This is also a new business item, Lawrence.
Yeah, I just want to say that in my director's report, the new business item is embedded in my director's report, and I will be reading the motion during my director's report, Chair. Would that be appropriate?
Okay, I think that's fine, but I think we'll probably have to take it up.
New business, yeah.
Yeah, so just if everyone is aware that we have several new business items, and we're going to try to complete all our other work in an expeditious way so that we can get to those timely. So with that understanding, I think the agenda is approved. I didn't really hear any objections to the agenda, just noting that there are several new business items under the last item on the agenda, which is new business.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Bella?
Bella DeSoto here. For the process, so that Janine knows which items they are, so you have Eric's, that was just highlighted, mine, and if we can have a title for Mr. Reyes' new business so that she can have
Chair,
it.
Chair, point of order, Chair. That's not in order right now.
Yeah, okay.
It's on the new business, Bella.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. Yeah, we know that there are three items, and we'll get to them as they come up. The next thing we'll do is the Pacifica mission statement. I believe that our vice chair, Rocio Rivas, was going to read that for us.
Yes, I am ready to read it. It's my honor. I'm actually been looking forward to reading the mission statement for my turn. So. Here we go.
You're a little quiet. If you can get closer to your mic, maybe. Or
okay. Is that better?
Yes.
Okay, great. Sorry about that. Here we go. To establish a foundation organized and operated exclusively for educational purposes, no part of the net earnings of which inures to the benefit of any member of the foundation. to establish and operate for educational purposes in such manner that the facilities involved shall be as nearly self-sustaining as possible. One or more radio broadcasting stations licensed by the Federal Communications Commission and subject in their operation to the regulatory actions of the Commission under the Communications Act of 1934 as amended. And radio broadcasting operations to encourage and provide outlets for the creative skills and energies of the community, to conduct classes and workshops in the writing and producing of drama, to establish awards and scholarships for creative writing, to offer performance facilities to amateur instrumentalists, choral groups, orchestral groups, and music students, and to promote and aid other creative activities which will serve in the cultural welfare of the community. In radio broadcasting operations, to engage in any activity that should contribute to a lasting understanding between nations and between the individuals of all nations, races, creeds, and colors, to gather and disseminate information on the causes of the conflict between any and all other such groups, and through any and all means compatible with the purposes of this corporation, to promote the study of political and economic problems and of the causes of religious, philosophical, and racial antagonisms. In radio broadcasting operations, to promote the full distribution of public information, to obtain access to sources of news not commonly brought together in the same medium, and to employ such varied sources in the public presentation of accurate, objective, comprehensive news on all matters vitally affecting the community. And this is the Pacifica Foundation mission statement. Thanks.
Thank you, Rocio. And so let's just keep that in mind. It's our unique common shared purpose in these meetings and in all the other operations of KPFK and Pacifica. And entertain a motion to accept the excused absence requests. I believe we have them from Michael Adler and essentially from Alan Beek. Were there any others?
Alan Beek is present.
Oh, great. Very good, Alan. Thank you. Welcome. In that case, just for Michael Adler.
Hello, Alan.
Michael, this is Barbara. Michael, yes, Barbara. This is Barbara. I will only be able to stay on till around 11:15 or so, so I just wanted to acknowledge that.
Sure, that's fine.
Thank you.
Were there any objections to accepting Michael Adler's request for excused absence? He explained that he was traveling, and if he is able to get on, he will. But at this point, he's absent and requesting an excuse for it. Okay, hearing no objections, we'll consider that accepted.
Michael, Paulina arriving late.
Okay, thank you, Paulina. Can the secretary please note Paulina's presence? And I see someone connecting to audio, but I can't tell who that is. Oh, that's Avelia. Okay, so Avelia is also present.
Yes, thank you. I've been on for about 15 minutes, really.
Okay, great. All right. Thank you.
I'm sorry, was that Kiana?
No, that was Avelia Jones.
Oh, yes, I have her as present.
Yeah, thank you. I don't believe Mo Thomas is on. Is he here with us? Because we were hoping to hear from him, our interim general manager. He said he would be traveling, but would try to get on. He was going back to D.C. Oh, Ali.
Yeah, Ali is seeking the floor. Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead, Ali. Sorry.
Mr. Chair, Bella here.
Okay, Bella, you can raise your hand on the phone with *9. Please try to do so.
Okay,
Ali,
yes.
You're recognized.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure we saw that Robert Payne is in attendance, and he doesn't have a microphone. He'll type his responses in the chat, which he's indicated.
Yeah, thank you. We did note that earlier, and I read a couple of things that he put in the chat. Bella?
Yes, so we have Kiana Williams is her second absence. Last month, she was not present. There was no excuse request from her, and this is the second one. There's no official request.
Okay, thank you, Bella.
Also,
excuse me, Bella, hang on a second. So the secretary should notify Kiana that she needs to attend the next meeting or get an excused absence, because otherwise she will have disqualified herself for three consecutive absences. Did you have something else, Bella?
I just lost it now. Sorry, but I will not excuse Kiana Williams. So that would be my objection. Thank you.
There was no request for you. The only excused absence today was from Michael Adler that I heard.
Right. Got it. Mr. Harvey Wasserman is also absent. No excuse.
All right, Bella, it's not necessary to list the people who are absent. We took the roll. The secretary has the record. We only excused one absence today. Michael Adler, please allow us to continue the rest of our business.
Janine,
go ahead, Janine.
Sorry, I just wanted to mention maybe one of the reasons Bella's bringing it up is that the absences and what constitutes as an acceptable excused absence was something that was going to be addressed at the governance committee this last week, and we just ran out of time. So I'm hoping that in the next governance meeting, we can still address and come up with some items that are reason, you know, the go-to reasons for excused absences.
Okay, thank you. I will say that we attempted to do that in a motion of mine on my last service on the LSB several years ago, and they were struck down by the PNB as not consistent with Pacifica policy. We can try it again, but just be aware that, you know, that I see a hand up from Lydia Ponce. You need to unmute, Lydia.
Yes, I wanted to offer if Paulina was going to be made a co-host, if we could just start using the raise hand and the star 9 function, because it keeps everybody from speaking over or being argumentative. I just my head does not have capacity, nor does my heart. And I think that we are not realizing how that hurts one another. It just does. And that's not what I'm here for. I'm here to find solutions and work together. So, Paulina, I'm putting you on the spot by asking if you would please be co-host. And if not, then I'll be happy to do it.
Yes, if you can, Lydia. Janine is hosting. I think she made you and me co-hosts. We can add another. We do have more than 25 people on the call, so that means that for most people, the screens are going to, you know, go over and back. So bear with us if your hand goes up and we don't see you immediately. I do have an 832 phone and a 323 that ends in 7138. Are either of those members of the local station board?
Seven 138 is Margo Iser, a member of the okay. Response.
Thank you.
Interest in volunteering, etc.
And 1438.
Oh, 1438, that's me. Local station board member, KPFT.
Oh, okay. Not KPFK.
Who's me?
No.
Chair, according Lawrence, may I be recognized?
Yes, go ahead, Lawrence.
According to our bylaws, members of this foundation do not have to identify themselves.
Yeah, I was only asking for identification in case it was
a
member.
Yeah, I understand.
Okay, so as I noted, we did have time on the agenda for a report from our interim general manager, Mo Thomas, and I thought he was going to be on the call, but he doesn't seem to be. So we're going to proceed with the next item of business, which I think is the director's reports. I don't have it open in front of me. Can somebody check me on that?
I can post them in the chat if you like.
Yeah, if you can post it as text as opposed to the PDF, because on my laptop it's hard for me to open.
I don't think I'm able to do that. Sorry, it didn't work last time. I tried to do that. I can only do the PDF.
You are muted.
Okay, so in any case, I think we are up to director's report.
You are unmuted.
If one of the directors would like to go first.
This is Beth. I'm willing.
Go ahead.
Thank you. So in the last month, I've attended all national board and committee meetings in which I represent KPFK LSB listeners, including all Pacifica National Board meetings, National Finance Committee meetings, and Strategic Planning Committee meetings. I'm pleased to report the further financial progress in this last month. NEDA has completed the work on the 2019 audit and is now laser focused on 2020, the last audit left to bring us up to current for the first time in years, aiming for a target date of June 30. In addition, the National Finance Committee passed the KPFT budget, having now approved budgets for 6 of the 8 Pacifica units. The KPFK budget is slated to be taken up at the next NFC meeting, leaving only the National Office after that. All Pacifica units will then be poised to begin fiscal year 2022 budget process on time, aiming to have budgets in place across the board on time at the start of the next fiscal year for the first time in more than 5 years. I'm consistently pleased and impressed with the steady progress NEDA has been making month by month, putting our financial house in order. At the National Strategic Planning Committee, I continue my work to stand up a national network-wide emergency preparedness initiative. I intend to broaden that topic to a more conscious, deliberate, comprehensive focus on risk management in general, as a way to ratchet down our liability and increase our resilience, I could add. Others on the committee are exploring the possibilities of establishing an advisory board, producing and monetizing podcasts, finding ways to monetize the wealth of original material in the Pacifica Radio Archive, possibly by issuing non-fungible tokens, and one proposal to reduce the cost of our debt, relieve the time constraint, and gain greater direct control over our finances by issuing a private placement memorandum, a private bond, to members only. The National Technology Task Force didn't meet this month. The National Development Task Force has not met, though the task force members are in touch and circulating funding potentials. Later this month, I'll be proposing adoption of a set of fundraising policies from the National Association of Fundraising Professionals to address issues of fundraising standards and compliance to improve our financial credibility and creditworthiness. If anyone has questions, comments, or concerns about any of our work at the national level, please feel free to be in touch, and I'll do my best to respond. Thank you.
Chair, this is Lawrence. Can I be recognized?
Yeah, please.
Thank you. So I submitted a report to the LSB, and I hope that you were able to peruse it. I will just basically touch on it for the sake of time. As a KPFK director, I am charged with the task of convening the PNB KPFK Committee of Inclusion, which is scheduled for Friday, May 21st at 7:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Please attend and put the word out about this meeting. Non-LSB members are encouraged to participate. And the community and public at large is encouraged to attend. As the elected chair of the PNB Governance Committee, we will be meeting on Wednesday, May 26th, 8:30 Eastern Time. And included in this report, embedded in my report, is a motion on communications to the membership resolution. For your edification, I'm a member of the PNB Audit Committee, and the Audit Committee will be meeting tomorrow at 8:30 Eastern Time And the, as Beth reported, the 2019 audit has been submitted to the Attorney General's office, and NEDA is blazing the trail to get the 2020 audit done. Let's see. Also, the National Election Supervisor is seeking representatives from both the yes on the referendum, the Pacifica bylaws referendum, and no to help her arrange for forms, develop cards, and just be able to participate in that form. And in my report, contact information for the National Election Supervisor is embedded. Coming in June, sometime in June, a bylaws no versus yes form moderated by politics and pedagogy, John Crenshaw, between myself, Lawrence Reyes, representing the no campaign, and Beth Keene, representing the yes campaign on the bylaws referendum rewrite. Please tune in and spread the word about this form. I'm sure that there will be announcements made in regards to the form. Embedded in my report, I also submitted a motion for national consideration and for the LSB codification. And embedded in the report is an article in regards to the Goldmacher Turner Huggins lawsuit, starting with paragraph 2. You could refer to pacificainexile.org/archives/9915, #more-9915. And the motion.
Put that in the chat.
Okay. You give me a lot of technological credit, but I'll try to do that. I would hope that maybe the secretary could help me. But I'm going to read the motion for consideration. The KPFK LSB recommends to the PNB that they adopt the following resolution. Whereas a political frivolous and dilatory nuisance lawsuit has been filed by Donald Goldmacher, Andrea Turner, and Sharon Adams, against, Alice Steinberg, Grace Aaron, falsely accusing them of damaging Pacifica in their roles as Pacifica National Board Chair and Pacifica National Board Secretary, respectfully. And whereas the initial filings by Goldmacher, et cetera, and all were replete with falsehoods, incorrect and outdated information indicative of how frivolous the lawsuit against our officers are, whereas defending Pacifica's officers from harassment in the form of lawsuits that abuse legal process by political purposes related to an ongoing Pacifica referendum and internal political Pacifica politics is Pacifica's policy. And whereas Pacifica should not have to bear the onerous cost of such legal actions against its officers, therefore be it resolved that the PNB vigorously pursue Goldmacher, et cetera, all for full reimbursement for any and all legal expenses and court fees related to the defense of the officers in this matter. So that will be taken on the new business. Embedded, and I'm going to finish my report, is a motion regarding just to, because some members have asked about the motion, the resolution on communication with members. That is also reflected in my report. So I'll end my report with just saying that in the labor of love, Lawrence Reyes, KPFK Listener PNB Director, my contact phone number is there and so is my email. I'll be more than happy to talk to anyone in regards to matters, whether we agree or disagree. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you. So please, if you do have comments later, we'll take up the motion that Lawrence mentioned in new business. We'll save discussion of that until then. The communications motion that was referred to is the one that mandates each station to have a general manager's report to the listener with call-ins and an LSB report to the listener with call-ins, and also sets up mechanisms for communication among staff members with each other. Is that correct?
Yes, Chair. I believe the resolution addresses that. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Osborne, did you want to report?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think Beth and Lawrence have done a, as usual, a more than adequate job, a very good job of reciting the facts. Obviously, you know, some of their observations are personal, but with respect to the status of the developments on the PNB, I support their recitation of the facts. Just one comment. Can you hold on a minute, Michael, and come back to me? Someone's at the door.
Okay. Ali, Lexa is our staff director. Did you have something to share also?
I will let the reports from Lawrence and Beth subside. I don't really have a lot to add.
Okay, so I see Bella DeSoto has had her hand up. Did you want to talk about
that? Michael, I'm back now.
Oh, okay.
Whenever you're ready.
James. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I just wanted to say that one of the important things that I see that has improved in the 6 to 7 months that I've been on the PNB is the financial situation, meaning that there does seem to be now a heightened awareness of the accountability and efforts to come back and do the books and make a full accounting for some of the problems that have occurred in the past. And my observation on that is that this is obviously a good thing for the network, and it shows what can happen when we really hire the right professionals and delegate responsibility to them and kind of stay out of the way and let them do their job. And that concludes my comments. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You're muted, Michael.
Sorry. I don't know why it keeps remuting itself. All right. I did have one comment myself. I'm very pleased to hear that the process of planning for the fiscal year 2022 budget will begin in a timely fashion, because I had a motion at the Finance Committee, which we didn't get to call on the NFC to begin that process. So it's very gratifying to hear that it actually will be happening. Bella, you had your hand up. Did you want to talk about the director's reports? And you need to unmute yourself.
Can you hear me? Yes. But before that, which I was not able to speak, was the fact that the IGM had sent a notice, which I received, that he would be attending other meetings except today's meeting because of his travel conflict. Just wanted to lay that out. Okay. I wanted to ask two questions. One of Beth. I do not have her report. I did get Lawrence. I did get the other motions, but I did not get Beth's report. Somehow I cannot find it, and I would like to get it. Thank you.
Go ahead,
Michael, may I respond?
Beth, yeah, please.
Thank you. I submitted it in writing to Janine last night. And I noticed this morning it hadn't gone out yet, so I prompted her, and she did send it before the meeting. I trust that everyone else got it. I'd be happy to send it again to Bella if she can't find what we sent.
Yeah, so Bella, it came from Janine at 6:55 a.m.
Also, Chair,
the Treasurer's report.
Sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's just been resent with UCC, so you can see.
Thank you, Janine.
Yeah, and thanks to the directors who did, send written reports, and we're trying to encourage that. And I'll ask Mo Thomas if he can get something in writing to us, given that Bella said he notified us that he couldn't actually make the meeting because of his travels, but hopefully he can send us something, we can circulate it.
Michael, no, Chair?
Yeah, go ahead.
Harvey Wasserman has joined us as well.
Okay, thank you. Welcome, Harvey. There were reports from several of the national committees that were also on the agenda in relation to the PMB directors' reports. There are people who are delegates who serve on different national committees. Is there anyone who wants to report from one of the PMB committees who is not a
Michael,
director? Go ahead. That's all right. Go ahead, Beth.
This is Beth, and I didn't catch the distinction you were making. I would just point out that I did, for all four of the committees or task forces I sat on, that's in my report. So,
yes.
But you mean
yes,
other members, so thank you. Sorry.
Yeah, I was aware of that, but the LSB elects delegates to serve on various PMB committees, and we did have on the agenda some reports from those committees. So if there's anything additional of people who are on the audit committee who are not directors or programming. Lawrence, you have your hand up again. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just wondering if there were any questions in regards to the directors before we went to delegates that seat on national committees.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I didn't see any hands up. I thought Bella had one, but it was a separate question. I think, Eric, you're on one of the committees, national committees. Did you have anything to say about that? Or?
Are you talking about the PNB Development Task Force, Michael?
Is it just the task force? Okay.
Or the audit committee. I'm also on the audit committee. Which one were you referring to?
I was referring to the audit committee because, as Beth mentioned, the task force hasn't met except people have been circulating informally some ideas.
Yes, the Lawrence touched on the audit committee material that I would be I would have repeated, but it's pretty much been covered, and it's as I indicated very briefly in I think our last meeting, what's been stated is 100% correct. So the last audit that is in any type of untimely basis is being completed as we speak.
Great. Lawrence, is your hand up again, or just
I forgot to report and on that tomorrow's audit committee. Part of the committee will be going into executive session to review the management letter from NEDA and from the accountant in regards to the audits. Thank you.
Management letter from the auditors.
Right, from the auditors, yeah.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, moving on. We have public comment. Oh, I'm sorry, was that Alan trying to speak? No? Okay, so public comment, I believe if there's any comment directed to the directors, we didn't really have the management report. Are there any members of the public who wish to speak at this time? You can. Okay, Nancy, you have a hand up. Go ahead. Nancy, you need to unmute yourself and speak.
Margo, I'm not sure if that's you wanted to speak. Okay, thank you for all your. Is this the right time to do this? I have some comments.
Yes, that's fine. I think you got somehow you got wrongly named.
I'm 7138.
Yeah. So, I don't want to overstep.
Okay.
Can you correct that? Because on my screen it says that Nancy is talking, but it's actually Margo.
I don't want to overstep that. Can Margo go now?
Yes, go ahead, Margo.
Okay, here I go. I'm going to have to sort of leave in a little while, but I wanted to just bring up three points and then I'll stop. First, how can we make sure that it should always be announced before a program starts if it is actually a repeat, rebroadcast, replay of a possibly pre-recorded program, and that if that's so, that the date of the recording should be announced? Okay, second, in every committee, in every other 501c3 group that I've been a member of, the board members were the chair people of the committees, which were made up of regular members interested in various aspects of the organization and who participated in all decisions about what projects would be undertaken and then voluntarily, underlined, did all the actual work needed to carry out these endeavors, including fundraising events, etc., most often successfully. So I recommend that this procedure be followed at KPFK. And second, now thirdly, because we did have a financial report, and again, once again, in all other 501c3 organizations of which I've been a member, all financial transactions were reported to the penny to the members, all the members, including specific amounts paid out. In this case, some of them had salaries and benefits for employees, etc., because they can't be confidential because we, the people, the members, are the ones who are paying for these. So I just wanted to bring those up so they can be discussed and reviewed and just, you know, because it's just something that has troubled me because we have to be the ones involved in making the decisions. I said, again, the board would bring up the issues and then the whole membership would be the ones who would then vote on the different proceedings in certain big projects. So this is what I'd like to see. Maybe if it's not in the bylaws, it needs to be put in there. But thank you very much. It should be a grassroots running of the organization. Then you get a lot more energy, a lot more work. You get people more enthusiastic and you don't have to pay salaries to people that are supposedly raising money for you and have a fundraiser that doesn't raise money. Okay, so thank you. That's my comment and I will now mute myself and listen. Thank you.
Thank you. I see a hand up from Andrew Weiss. Go ahead, Andrew.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Andrew Weiss, listener member. Regarding the communications motion directing all station general managers to do a regular monthly report to the listener and all LSBs to also be given a one-hour time slot to do a report dialogue/dialogue to the listener with call-in chairs. I would like to know what the status is of that, if any or all the stations are adhering to that and have started doing that on a regular basis. I would like to see that done immediately. And regarding our station, KPFK, I'd like to let everybody know, in case you have not heard, on Friday at 4 o'clock at a call-in show with our interim general manager, Mr. Mo Thomas, I did get a call in and asked him when he would be starting that dialogue with the listener on a regular basis. And he confirmed that it is in progress. He will be starting that very soon. He was not able to say when, but he said he will be. He did not speak to the LSB, our LSB, being given a time slot as well to do that. So I would like to request that the LSB, our LSB at KPFK, put in that request to our interim general manager, Mr. Mo Thomas, that he do that as soon as possible, give the our LSB an on-air show for call-ins from the listeners to report and dialogue with the listeners that they represent. Thank you very much. So I'm sorry, if I may, if any of the folks that gave a report from the PNB can respond to that, I would appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, I see a hand up from Lawrence. Do you want to respond on that question of the communications resolution?
Yeah, this. Thank you, Andrew, for your work and for your advocacy for the listeners. This is a motion that resolution that has been put forth and. There's been some pretty good response from Manon. So we're just awaiting for that to be put into place and implemented. And also Hara and has a public comment in the chat here. Thank you.
I see. Yeah, so we will be in touch with Mo Thomas about getting the LSB public listener dialogue with the listener on the air and try to get that scheduled. We were kind of waiting for the end of the fund drive because the finances were the priority. This is a comment in the chat from Hara Handala. It says, read the comments by Jim Osborne and others on management diligence concerning KPFK finances. This is not true. The 11 June 2020 PMB policy identifies a single indicator of unit financial performance. Excuse me, the rolling six-month net income or loss. So what is KPFK's? The latest appears in the February 2021 Pacifica management accounts produced by NETA, leaks to the Pacifica and Exile website when the January 2021 posting of the PPP number one sum is, as prudence required, reallocated to when the money was spent, the June 2020 through August 2021 at 28 February 2021, KPFK's rolling six-month net loss is -27.4%, that is $371,583. The 11 June 2020 PNB policy requires a plan to be submitted by the KPFK station manager to the ED, CFO, and PNB within 1 week. Why hasn't this happened? Why has no Pacifica Delaware director spoken about this in public? This is unacceptable. There's a question from Rocio about a timekeeper, and I think we neglected to have someone appointed. There's a note from Ali Alexa that Kiana sent in a note for an excused absence. She's taking care of a 92-year-old grandmother. So I was not aware of that. I guess we can return retroactively to that question. Paul Roberson says, I just got an email from Kiana in reference to her excused absence of the family estate. She sent an email. She wants it on the record. And Howard Handala corrected himself that the PPP number was spent June 2020 through August 2020, not 2021. Okay, so I'm sorry, is your hand up for something new, Lawrence? Or you?
I just think that we need to be compassionate, and I think we should excuse Kiana Williams from this meeting and have that put on the record.
Yeah, so I'll take that as a motion to add an excused absence for Kiana. I didn't see the request. I see that she did send one. So are there any objections to an excused absence for Kiana for this meeting? Because
of
family obligations. Go ahead, Bella.
Has anyone seen that email, that excused absence request? Because I have not seen it. You have not seen it. The secretary has not seen it.
A point of order, Chair, there's a motion on the floor.
So she's speaking to the motion. I think she's objecting to the motion. So I'm checking my email. I do see one now from Kiana. It says, request for excused absence. I'm with my 90-year-old grandfather. And an emoji. So it is sent to the whole station board.
Okay, I see it. Thank you.
Thank you. So hearing no objections, that excused absence request will be added to the minutes as approved. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
So moving on from public comment, unless there's additional members of the public who wish to speak.
Yes, Chair.
Go ahead. Who is that?
This is Nancy Sidewell.
Go ahead. Thank you.
Houston. Okay, I'd like to thank the KPFK LSB for voting down the Pacifica referendum. Thank you very much. And I want to also thank you for having a programming oversight committee and an outreach committee. We don't have it at KPFT in Houston, but the last meeting, we finally got our own outreach committee meeting. And so it has more than just 2 or 3 minutes like it had before. One of the evidence based on was that you have an outreach committee and the WPFW has, right? So thank you for that. And on all your committees, I hope you are welcoming the listeners or to come and be as guests and do comments or public comment in the committees. All committees of the PNB, which includes the LSB committees, are supposed to have a public comment time. So I do hope you are inviting them At KPFT, we want to have the public or listeners come, but very few come. And another thing, a previous public commenter talked about the GM monthly report, which is in the job description of a Pacifica manager. Also, in that same communications motion that the PNB passed is an LSB report. So please, y'all get busy and keep it in order so nobody speaks twice before the others do. Take turns. And, of course, nobody's forced to, but an LSB report, it's a communication with your constituents. It's important that we all, membership, everybody get all together on what's going on. So please do start a committee, or, and you don't need a whole lot of committee, just to keep track of who has been able to speak, LSB monthly report. And what else do I want to say? Oh, yes. There was another motion by the PNB that was passed last December, and it's each station should have a listserv of all programmers and management that they can talk to, provide a cross-communication among each other, not just a one-way from top down or from down to top, but all programmers can chime in, or they can be quiet and just read what other programmers say. This is for programmers in management, and this needs to be done at every station. Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy. So I will say that we have a motion coming up from our governance committee regarding membership on our LSB committees to try to clarify the situation. And that'll be a next item of business very shortly. There is one more public comment in the chat from Kim. Says, with due respect to HARA, the 6-month rolling average was dropped. I think everyone is aware that KPFK is still at the bottom of a dumpster fire. Why hasn't anyone come up with a plan? And Hara asks, when did the PNB rescind the 11 June 2020 policy? Does someone want to speak to that from the PNB or anyone on the treasurers on the finance committee? Is that something that came up?
You have call in user number 2, Chair. If I could be recognized, I could briefly address the concerns.
Okay,
I would say that I'm not prepared to answer that at this time, but I will be diligent in researching and asking the questions that were asked to get answers. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, we do have the Treasurer and Finance Committee report coming up, so maybe we'll hear something about that. Calling user 2, public comment.
Yes. Thank you. A comment on the audits. I hope that those of you interested will read the most recent audits available, because if you read the notes, it's not quite as cheery a picture as I had hoped. There's language about continuing doubt as to the viability of Pacifica. Also, and I'm sad to report, that merely providing audits does not mean that CPB funding will be forthcoming. Indeed, the two letters that CPB provided to Pacifica indicated a good many requirements that hadn't been met. Those letters are available, I think, at the Pacifica Foundation website. And I'm concerned that people, that listeners, not think that the presence of an audit, even a filed audit, will satisfy the CPB, and that revenue stream is unlikely to begin anytime soon. Thank you for the time.
Thank you. Yes, the caller is correct. KPFK lost its CPB funding before any of the problems of the audits developed. We were on probation for several years for not meeting the minimum necessary level of listeners or financial support for our area. So there are many other problems besides the audits. Okay, so I see a couple of hands up from
Michael.
I see several hands up from members of. I see several hands up from members of the board. Okay, hang on a second. I thought I heard Dr. Halley. I don't see where he is. I don't see you, Dr. Halley, but I heard
he's right above you.
I did hit star 9.
Not on my screen. Go ahead, Dr. Halley. Public comment, and then we'll go back to the board in a second.
Okay, several brief comments. First of all, I too have had serious concerns about the status of the audits. Number two, I think it's very unfortunate that General Manager Mo Thomas hasn't deigned to make an appearance. I think that's kind of concerning. Number three, related to Margot's comment, I also am concerned about our practice of repeating endlessly some of the programs during the pledge drives. And part of my concern is that oftentimes there will be these matching funds are available, and I don't think during rebroadcasts or reruns of these programs I've ever heard somebody pop in and say, by the way, that matching fund does apply, or that matching fund does not apply. I think that's a serious problem. Let me see. Oh, finally, I too would like to congratulate the board on giving us a thumbs down on the current version of the bylaw change referendum. So big congratulations. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Margot, I see your hand, but you'll have to wait for the next round of public comment because you spoke already. There are three members of the board with their hands raised, Beth Van Gunten, Bella DeSoto, and Lawrence Reyes. I think it was Bella first, then Lawrence, then Beth.
Mr. Chair, I wanted to point out that we skipped a number of items on the agenda, and I wanted to make sure that we do cover them. Letter F. Letter T.
Just say where they are, please, Bella.
Letter I.
Bella, say what they are.
Oh.
The letters don't help.
Yes. Appeal for donations, membership for KPFA. Appoint the timekeeper. Set time for future meeting, time and date. And set time certain to adjourn if we are to adjourn at a certain time. Also, number two on the agenda, implementation report on previous business. This previous business needs to be addressed. And I am not finished. And the issue of our smacked in our face, our delegates election in June, must be dealt with. Today.
Thank you. I did ask earlier if someone went to the service timekeeper, but I didn't hear a response. Is there someone who can be our timekeeper? I don't hear any response still, so we'll try to.
Michael, I'll do it. Go ahead.
Thank you. We'll see you.
Okay.
So normally on public comment, it's a minute and a half per speaker, and we'll exhaust the stack and then come back to it. I see a couple of other public comments, but time certain. Did anyone want to make a motion for a time certain to adjourn? Any member of the board? No? Okay.
I will make a motion for ending at a time certain.
Okay. What time is that, Jan?
12:30 p.m.
Mr. Chair, this is Bella.
Yes, Bella?
I propose that we break out at 2:30 or 3 o'clock, which is realistic.
Okay, so the first motion was from Jan. 12:30 is less than an hour from now. Jan, I don't think that's given that we started a little bit late at 10:30. I think good.
I'll amend it to 1 o'clock. That would give us a 2-hour meeting.
Yeah, Chair, may I be recognized to amend?
Okay.
Mr. Chair, I propose 2:30 or 3.
Bella, wait to be recognized.
Okay, so Bella had been recognized. She spoke after Jan.
Okay.
So I'll take that as an amendment to Jan's. Which is it, Bella, 2:30 or 3?
Yes, 3 best. So okay, we can so cover our full agenda.
All right, thank you. That's the amendment on the floor. Is a 3 o'clock time certain?
I wish to amend, Chair Lawrence.
Okay, I think we can take one more amendment. Go ahead.
I'd like to amend to 2 o'clock time certain.
Okay, so that's on the floor at the moment. Are there objections to 2 o'clock as a time certain to adjourn?
I object, Bella.
May I be recognized?
Bella is objecting. Okay. I will object also.
Okay, so there are 2 objections to the 2 o'clock. James Osborne, you ask to be recognized?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Can you clarify what the times are that are have been proposed so far? I heard Lawrence's and I heard Bella's. What was Jan's?
I believe Jan's final version was 1 o'clock. Bella was saying 3 and Lawrence is saying 2, and the 2 is what's on the floor at the moment.
I changed mine to 1:30 in deference to the chair's suggestion that 1 o'clock.
Okay. At the moment, 2 o'clock is on the floor. There were 2 objections. Can we just put it to a vote at 2 o'clock? And if it's voted down,
I second.
Yeah. Okay. So can we just, I don't want to have a long discussion about what time to adjourn. The motion and the consideration is 2 o'clock. There were a couple of objections. We're just going to call the roll on that, Janine.
Okay. Alan Beek, whether for a 2 o'clock adjournment.
Alan, did you hear that? You're being called on to vote on a 2 o'clock time certain to adjourn.
*6.
No, just go on, Janine. We'll come back to him.
Okay, Fred Blair.
Yes.
Thank you, Sandy Child.
Yeah.
Thank you, Bella DeSoto.
No, 3 o'clock.
Thank you, Jan Goodman.
Speak, Jan. Can't hear. You mute yourself again. We can't hear you.
I'm sorry. I said yes. Sorry.
Okay. Thanks.
I was muting and unmuting at the wrong time.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Eric T. Jacobson. I don't know what's going on. Where
James Osborne had some noise.
Okay.
Just keep going.
This is Alan. Unmuted.
Oh, thank you, Alan. Are you voting yes or no to the 2 o'clock?
2 o'clock.
Time certain to adjourn. 2 o'clock, you're okay with that, Alan?
That's okay with me, yes.
Great, thank you. Eric D. Jacobson was a pass. Adelia Jones?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Ali Lexa?
Abstain.
Thank you. Barbara Marbach is no longer on the call. James Osborne?
Yes.
Thank you. Robert Payne? I don't.
Robert abstains.
Payne abstains.
Yeah.
Thank you. Lydia Ponce?
Yes.
Thank you. Lawrence Reyes?
Yes.
Thank you. Rocia Rivas?
Yes.
Thank you, Paul Roberson.
Yes.
Thank you. Janine Roan is a yes. And we have Mansoor Sabah. He's on.
He said he would be listening on the stream and come on to vote if he had to, but just proceed without him.
Okay. Oscar Yoa?
I'm here. Sorry. Okay. I vote yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Oscar Yoa?
Yes.
Thank you. Paulina Vasilia?
I'll abstain.
Okay, thank you. Beth Von Guten?
Abstain.
Thank you. And Harvey Wasserman?
Yes, as long as there are no extensions.
Okay, I don't know.
Not part of the motion.
I think that's just a yes. So we have, sorry, I was unable to do that in my program, but I believe the yes is win. I'm doing a count.
I passed. This is Eric.
Oh, okay, Eric.
I'll abstain for the opposite reason of Harvey. I'm not sure about extensions. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, I think the time starting of two passed, and I think an extension would require a two-thirds vote. So, you can't prevent extensions, but it's a supermajority at that point.
But we do have 14 yeses. I know that.
Yeah, thank you. Okay. We did want to do the appeal for funds, and it's particularly timely because, the station needs funds. We do ask every time we have a local station board event or meeting, we ask people to donate to KPFK. And I'm sure most of the people on this call have already donated, but we do need to dig a little deeper. And if you can do so, please do. You can go to kpfk.org and just click on donate. Is the cheapest way to do it in terms of not requiring the use of the call center. So I still had hands up from Beth and Lawrence. Is that about
something that Chair. If I could be recognized briefly.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Thank you. So I just wanted to address the concerns that were expressed by, I believe, call-in user number 3. And he was mentioning about the audits, about some of the comments that the auditors made in regards to the 2019 audit. In the 2019 audit, one of the comments that was made that they almost expressed a growing concern. They also put in the comments that our financial situation network-wide is improving. So they declined to make any comment in regards to the 2020 audit. There was a comment from the 2019 audit where we were struggling more, and they almost expressed a growing concern. So that's all I want to say. Thank you.
Okay, yeah, so just to clarify, that's an expression from the auditors as to it's in question whether Pacifica can continue as a going concern. It's a question about the future of our finances. It's not their concern about our finances. It's a formulation that auditors make that our ability to continue as a going concern, a going enterprise, is in question. Beth, go ahead.
Yes, thank you. First, I wanted to thank callers, Margot and Dr. Holly, for persistently pointing out the problem with replaying previously recorded and previously played programming without identifying it as such, especially as a fundraising technique. I will be pursuing this as I have to wrap up a couple of the other things that I've gotten started also in response to things you've brought up in the past. But thank you for your persistence in keeping this before us. Regarding CPB funding, I wanted to acknowledge that the audits are by no means the only issue. There are other issues, and the national board is and the local committee, the local LSBs, do intend and are pursuing response on each of the other items. It will take more than we can't qualify again without getting the audits in order, but we acknowledge that's not the only thing that will need to happen, and we're working on all of those issues. We're, in the meantime, not holding our breath about that. Everything that's necessary to requalify for CPB funding are necessary, important, best management practices anyway. So whether it's as a target for CPB funding or otherwise, we will be pursuing all of those. And as to the issue of going concern, acknowledging it has been an issue, it's still an issue, although we have audit by audit, I should say, been ratcheting down those problems. We've been beginning to address them. Each audit we get through, we're able to address them somewhat more than in the last. And it's an active item of discussion at the national level, where the intention is to itemize those things restricting us to that classification or that question, and working out ways to address each item one by one. So we do see that it has been a problem.
Yeah, try to wrap it up.
We acknowledge it's been a problem. It's not as much a problem now as it was, and we continue to work toward further resolution. Thank you.
Okay. I just want to point out that we do have an item coming up, which is the Treasurer's Report and Finance Committee Report. Maybe some of that can be addressed there. I see hands up from Bella and Paulina.
I just like to know where we are in the agenda.
Yes, this is Bella.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Am I recognized, Mr. Chair?
Yeah, go ahead, Bella.
Thank you. So I wanted to address the fact that we did miss originally asking for the appeal for donations, memberships for KPFK. And I want to point out that it is critical at this time. We are going to be facing a new election around the corner for the very members here, and new ones that will be running for as candidates. And the record date is June 30th, which is next month. So it is incumbent upon us to spread the word that June 30th is the record date, and this is the perfect time to become a member with a $25 annual membership and renewal of any expired membership. And I also wanted to address the issue of the CPB very quickly, is that in 2014, when our CPB was pulled, we got warnings 3 years earlier. It was for two main criteria. One was that our numbers as membership and listenership had been dropping and now is at abysmal state, and the fact that and that played a greater role than anything else. And we are not going to raise those numbers if we continue not addressing our community issues through programming. And this new IGM is going the wrong direction.
All right, thank you, Bella. All right, so in answer to Paulina's question, where we are on the agenda, we had to backfill a couple of items. People were responding to questions that were raised in the public comment. In terms of the action report on things that were adopted, we did have a special meeting of the local station board last month at which the board voted to oppose the New Day Pacifica bylaws, and we will be arranging for a cart to that effect and a statement on the website, which is under the current policies of the Fair Campaign Practices. I checked with the NES, and The next item on the agenda is the Treasurer's and Finance Committee report, and since a lot of the concerns that have been raised are about finances, I think we should be getting to that. So I'll call on Fred Blair.
Michael, what happened to the GM report? I'm sorry, the GM Search Committee report and discussion.
Okay, that, isn't that under the LSB committee reports? I thought that was after the.
It's item five on the. It's item five on
okay,
the agenda.
Sorry. All right. Yeah. So the GM search committee, we did constitute the committee. We've begun the process. We've posted ads with the LA Times, the National Association of Black Journalists, National Association of Hispanic Journalists, the Association of Women in Communications, the Asian American Journalists Association, the Current, the CPB. The National Coalition of, National Federation of Community Broadcasters, and a number of other areas. It's posted on LinkedIn. It's on the Pacifica.org. We've started receiving applications, and at this point, the committee is going to be proceeding in mainly executive session to begin reviewing the applications we've received and scheduling interviewers with applicants. The timetable we're operating on is that we hope to bring to the local station board at its June meeting, which I believe is the third Sunday. It's probably the 20th, I think. I forget the exact date, but the third Sunday in June, we expect to have a executive session of the LSB to consider and review the candidates to submit to the IED for the permanent general manager position here at the station. We've gotten a few very high quality, and we're hoping to get additional applicants to consider as the ads, disseminate themselves. We did get some good support and encouragement and help from the Cynthia Dobeck. Dr. Dobeck is the HR person for foundation from NETA, and so we think the job description that we came up with corresponds to the Pacifica mission and to the requirements of the kind of job posting that's needed by the FCC and the Equal Opportunity Employment Commission, and so we're proceeding on that basis. Any questions on that? What I was saying about the... go ahead. Who is that?
Mr. Chair, this is Bella.
Go ahead.
I have a question. So what is the timeline right now after those areas have been dealt with, the promotion, advertisement, et cetera? What is the timeline that you feel until... What is the timeline in general?
Yeah, we're accepting applications until June 1st, which is a month from the time that the initial announcement went up and the first ads went up. And Dr. Dobeck felt that was sufficient time, and we're hoping to get a good pool of candidates within that time. So if you are aware of people, you want to promote it through any other means, social media and so on, again, it's posted on Pacifica.org under jobs for KPFK. It's posted on the KPFK website. It's posted on the affiliates website. And I think a number of the other stations have also put links to the Pacifica.org posting. As I say, it's advertised with the FCC, with the CPB, with the National Federation of Community Broadcasters, and we're anticipating a good pool of candidates. We'll be taking applications through June 1st, and then we'll be bringing a recommendation to the LSB the third Sunday in June for an executive session of the LSB in addition to the regular meeting. So people should mark that on the calendars to expect it's going to be a longer meeting that day.
Mr. Chair?
Yes?
I just sent you the agenda via Word document. I understand you've been working blindly, which is why we have bypassed several areas on the agenda. And did we cover the old business, the previous business?
Yeah, so the previous business was that the we had a special meeting last month at which the board went on record opposing the New Day Pacifica bylaws replacement, and we'll be developing both a statement on the website and a cart to air on the station reflecting that decision by the recommendation by the LSB.
Okay.
So somebody put a long thing in the chat. I guess that's Hara. Okay. Can we hear from Fred regarding the Treasurer's report?
Michael, I'm here. I'm Fred Blair. I'm the KPFK Station Board Treasurer and also a member of the National Finance Committee by virtue of being Treasurer. I sent out my Treasurer's report for May this morning. On the financial stats at the beginning of my Treasurer's report, I only have financial statements from the National Finance Committee through February of this year. I believe NIDA has mentioned that they're even though they're working very hard right now on the FY20 audit, they will be coming out with the March financials shortly. So we're a couple months behind on the financials because NIDA is putting all their resources into getting this FY 2020 audit completed. The KPFK Finance Committee met on May 12th of this month, Wednesday, and the station manager and the business manager were both present at that meeting and gave reports. From the business manager, the operational bank account had $53,000 on Wednesday, May 12th. I'm not worried about the bank accounts this month because typically during a fund drive month, the bank accounts are flush with money and there won't be any problems probably paying those bills that have to be paid. Again this month, the new KPFK Interim General Manager, Mo Thomas, attended the Finance Committee meeting on Wednesday and gave a report on the station finances and his plans for dealing with the station's current financial problems around the spring fund drive. People have my report at the on the last page 5 has a screenshot of the Allegiance website dailies for the fund drive income. If you want to see more detailed information, please refer to my report. I'd like to say that I very much appreciate Mo's presence at the Finance Committee meetings and his straight talk about the station problems. This is a big difference from our last GM's actions of not attending our governance meetings and talking with us for more than a year. This current fund drive is nothing like anything I've seen before in my memory. Mo told us at the April finance meeting that he planned on starting this drive slowly at first and then building it to raise funds at higher levels as it went along. Well, the first couple of weeks of this drive were very, very low, at a daily drive average of around $4,000 a day. Then in the third week, around Cinco de Mayo, the drive took off with $16,000 per day pledges for 2 days in a row. And again, I refer you to the screenshot of the fund drive chart for more details. This current spring fund drive daily average is now at $8,562 per day as of early this morning. The total pledges from yesterday, May 15th, were $214,058. That's pledges. That's not fulfillment at this point. it's good that the IGM is making corrections and adjustments and improvements to the drive as it's going along. This is what a good manager is supposed to do, but this is still not enough financial revenue for KPFK to get out of this crisis and out from under the debt. K's monthly operational expenses are now at about $240,000 to $250,000 a month. This is down, as you'll see, if you looked at my stats for last year and through the March P&L statements, our operational expenses had been at $300,000 a month. I think if our fund drive finally ends up with this amount at the end of the month, we'll have just broken even this month, expenses equaling revenue. That's not good enough, but I hope this is a start of a recovery of KPFK and Pacifica and the Pacifica network to financial health in the future. That's my hope. Now on to Pacifica Foundation national information, since I sit on the NFC and people are interested in that. I'll just restate that the FY 2019 audit is now completed and posted on Pacifica.org. Also, the FY 2020 audit is started as of April 30th and is scheduled to be completed by June 30th, 2021. Pacifica's auditor, Anita, thinks this is doable. If this happens, then Pacifica will again become eligible for CPP grants. And to amplify on that, even though KPFK may not be eligible for CPP grants, other stations may. So if we apply for grants this June, we could possibly get some CPP money by fiscal year FY 23. Also, this makes us eligible for normal bank loans and other normal business financial transactions. And Pacifica's oversight by the California Attorney General will be completed with the delivery of the FY 2020 audit. On NFC News, seven out of the eight Pacifica business units have now had their budgets approved and passed by the NFC for the fiscal year FY 21, and then up to the PNB for approval. Actually, it's six. I forgot about the national office. We have gone over the national office budget a couple of times, and we have to do it again with some corrections. KPFK's budget will be discussed at the next NFC meeting, which I believe is Wednesday of this coming week. And fixed, and hopefully it will be passed by the NFC up to the PNB. This will complete the FY 21 budget cycle, and the FY 22 budget cycle will begin in June, July of this year. Hopefully, we will get a workable budget this year from KPFK's management that we can be sent up to the NFC without problems and controversy like the problems we've had for the last three or four years. And I think this is pretty much the end of my report. I will open up to questions if the chair would like. Michael?
I thought we could hear, yeah. I thought we could hear maybe from the Finance Committee as well before we take the questions. Bella, do you have anything to add? You have to unmute yourself, Bella.
Yes, I would like to, first, I need Fred Blair to clarify some things. I want the public and everyone else to understand the following. First of all, let me just say that it is unacceptable that NITA made a unilateral decision to forego submitting the profit and loss statements to all the units for the month of March and April. This, in essence, has crippled every finance committee because we have not been able to do our oversight work. So that's what
Bella, they are delayed. They are delayed, not stopped.
There is no excuse. They're getting paid very well.
Bella,
okay, I want to speak about the budget.
Bella, please hang on a second. Fred, don't call out while someone else is speaking. Bella,
you are
lower
muted.
Your voice. You don't have to shout to be heard.
Yes, okay. We still do not have a workable budget, even
unmuted.
Though locally, me and Alan Beek did put out a proposed budget with some reductions, with a 65% income retention, but a 45 to 55% deduction across the department. And I have been in touch with James Sugerton, the chair of the National Finance Committee, and he is aware of that, and I'm hoping that he will be taking those numbers into account. The other thing is that, Fred, this fund drive is not functioning as you reported. Per day, and these are just pledges. If we go based on the pledges, uncollected, right, unrecognized funds, this is accounts receivable, but is not being documented as such. But I insist that's what it is as a bookkeeper. We are getting pledges only of $7,928.07 per day. And still, we do not have factor in the overhead cost for any past and current fund drives, meaning that we continue operating in the blind like a bat at night because we do not know the other side of the ledger, which is the cost that is spent by the station to put out these fund drives. And the Allegiance Internet service that now we have a one-year contract with as of this month, and we pay them a hefty amount, somewhere in the neighborhood of $5,500 per month, sometimes and more, has not been able to document the cost. So we just get partial reports for a year. This has got to stop. And so last month I invited Terry Guy to the Finance Committee. He attended. That was his first. And he gave us kind of a rundown on the challenges he has had to make this outfit give us the proper numbers that we need. So he promised us that he will be working on that. And I invited him again to join us on April 14th, May 10th, but he was not able to attend. And regarding the repeat, again, this is what this IGM stressed that he's going to be doing, repeating programs. And he has worked out a new contract with Christine Blasdale. This is not where we need to go. We need local programming so we can shift away from where we have been. I'm not going to go over the February numbers because they have been spelled out and spoken about for the last two or three LSB meetings. Thank you.
Okay, so I have several hands up from members, including my own. I'm just going to say briefly that one of the things the business manager reported is that the overall payroll and personnel costs are down, I think he said something like 4% current compared to the beginning of the fiscal year. I don't think that's a sufficient reduction. He said that the monthly operating costs of the station are about $230,000, and again, that's probably not a sufficient reduction given our income. The recommendation from the LSB was to look at a budget of $2.4 million a year. That's $200,000 a month maximum, and we haven't achieved that yet. I see hands from Beth Van Gunten, Paulina, and Janine. I'm not sure what order, but why don't you start, Beth?
Thank you. Do you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes, yes.
Thank
you're
you.
Audible.
Thank you. Okay. Yes, regarding NEDA and the delays, if that decision was not unilateral, NEDA checked with the National Finance Committee and the National Finance Committee chair and others to reason with us about priority. They are inundated with KPFK work to try to catch up with work which has not been done in the past. They are making steady progress with that. Right now, the priority is to get the audit done before the absolute deadline at the end of June. And we agreed that at the national level, that was an appropriate priority. If there had been outstanding issues, urgent outstanding issues regarding local finances, those would have been addressed. But they were deemed such that they could be delayed until this next finance committee. They're not being neglected. They will be made available as soon as possible. It wasn't a unilateral decision. The priority was considered to be the audit. Regarding the budget, after 7 local attempts and failures to produce a budget here, KPFK LSB has already relinquished that process to National to produce a budget for us. And we're already 2/3 of the way through this fiscal year, and so there's no point for the local finance committee to be expending time and effort to try to produce a local budget now. That we had our chance and we blew it, and we should be looking forward to the beginning of the next budget cycle. We'll be able to address that more clearly once we have this year's budget in hand. That's right around the corner. That's enough for now. Thank you.
Thank you, Beth.
I'll just respond. Beth, the local station board twice did make recommendations on the budget. The budget is primarily responsibility of the management, not of the local board. Local board advises on it and forwards it, and we forwarded it with a recommendation that not be accepted by the NFC. That was our action. We didn't miss our chance. We twice voted to reject the management budgets that were put forward. I have Paulina next, and then Janine. I see your hand, Lawrence.
Thank you. About finances, I inquired of Anita Sims, our ICFO. What was the average loss per month in fiscal year 2020 for KPFK? And she said that the average loss was $58,000 per month in fiscal year 2020 for a total of $697,000 for that year. So just to give you perspective that we are facing a dire situation at the station, as everybody knows. Now about Mr. Thomas, I just heard from him yesterday, to my great surprise, that he doesn't have access to Allegiance. He said it was something that he was told it was something about legal conflict, something like that. So basically, he's not being granted access to Allegiance yet. So hopefully that will be corrected. That would be Mr. Terry Guy. And because also, obviously one needs to look at numbers and query them per hour, not just per day and per hour on different days. The drive started slowly because it was a soft drive. There were soft pitches only for the first few days. Now I believe it's ramping up, but we still don't have access to, for instance, at WPFW, they have managed to set up a system where even during the pandemic, even when they're broadcasting remotely, they're able to, in real time, monitor the donations that are coming in and be able to thank people on the air, right, which is very important, and have more of a control over what, you know, what's happening during during live shows and do live shows. I'm also very concerned about lots of reruns, especially if they sound like the lights are, the phones are lighting up and everybody goes, oh yes, of course they work. But if, I mean, whatever works, we do need, at this point, right? My understanding also is, I see some Christine Blasio specials back on. Hopefully they are generating, pledges. And yes, of course, this is just at this point pledges only. We fulfillment would be interesting to see. Once again, for me, super important, if somebody can address that, why our IGM, imagine this, our IGM doesn't have access to allegiance. Thank you.
Sorry, Janine is next, then Lauren.
I just wanted to make an overall some comments because I'm on the audit committee, national, and then also the finance committee. You know, the getting the audits completed for, which is done for 2019, and now the 2020 audits by June, the end of June, would be pretty amazing. And I'm starting to feel optimistic that if that can be done, and NEDA does sound like there is a fire under them to get these things done. They did finish the 2019 by the end of April, which was their deadline. So I'm really hopeful by the end of June for 2020. And I really believe that we can parlay that, maybe not CPB right away until we get more listenership, but for other loans and grants, now those won't come right away, but that does, to me, again, that's optimistic. The audit letter tomorrow, knowing what's going on with that, I don't know if Lawrence already received that, but seeing what that says will also influence our ability to be able to fundraise or apply for grants or other funds. Mo Thomas, who was at the finance committee, I mean, nobody wants the repeated programs, but that whatever works that Paulina just mentioned is important right now to get us through sort of the summer until we can get through this portion. I believe we're turning the corner. He did have a lot of ideas to eventually put into place, like HD radio for people's you know, who have GPS or HD capabilities in their cars, which is growing. And also we reviewed that it's very, again, programming is key. I even mentioned, you know, does he have experience with online fundraising? And he does. So I think eventually he can get us to a point where we're raising funds. And this is for a new audience or new listeners, that where we can get them to find out about KPFK through using online advertising, how social media works. So, and I know that Michael is putting forward a motion that we begin on the 2022 fiscal budget or fiscal year budget, like right away. That we would begin as soon as June trying to put that together. And that requires reviewing what our costs are now. So in a way, we are looking at our working budget by putting together 2022. So, you know, bylaws, legal challenges, these are all things that are depleting money from the foundation. So, you know, if that can stop, if we can fight, you know, stop those from coming up, that would be a huge help as well. Thank you.
Thanks, Lawrence.
Hold on, Michael. Can I make a correction?
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. Governance does not generate the budget. The budget is generated by management and passed down to governance for our oversight. That's it.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, if I can clarify then, I believe, Michael, maybe you can clarify it. There is a motion
Responding to the question. My motion didn't get to the floor of the Finance Committee, but as Beth reported, the NFC is planning to start the cycle for the 2022 budget pretty shortly. So that's on track. Go ahead, Lawrence.
Thank you. So on the this LSB rejected management's budget twice, made recommendations just to repeat something that, and as a result of it, there is a checks and balance in governance where if a budget does not get accepted by the LSB, it goes to the National Finance Committee for ratification or an additional workup. So the budget that was rejected is in front of the Finance Committee, the National Finance Committee, and it's being worked on. So that's the default process in our bylaws. And no, Janine, you could pick up the phone and always call me to ask me questions. I did not receive the management letter. Don't be dizzy. I'm sorry. In regards to that, I did not receive the management letters, and I think that'll be produced tomorrow and be sent out by the chair, Eileen Rosen. So that's all I have to say.
That is very insulting. That is very insulting, Lawrence, what you just said.
Okay,
she called me a bully. She insulted me.
I believe I had the right to address what Fred said, and you didn't allow me to. So, and I did. There, you shouldn't take offense at the fact that I stated that you might have the letter already. I wasn't inferring that anything was wrong. I just didn't know whether it had been distributed to the PNB. Okay, so, you know, trying to keep things positive, but it's difficult.
Michael, this is Paulina. May I be recognized?
I'm sorry. I'm tired of European descent women attacking me. And I don't appreciate being muted.
Wow.
Paulina, did you want to speak?
Not anymore.
I have had my hand up, Mr. Chair. Bella?
Your hand is always up.
Okay, Bella, you spoke earlier as the Finance Committee Chair Pro Tem. Did you want to add something to the discussion?
Yes, I wanted to clarify that on in March, that in February, the local station board voted a motion for the LSB to hold a special meeting on March 4th. And many attended, including the National Finance Committee Chair, James Sugerton. It was then when he was informed of the local workup proposed budget that Alan Beek and myself had worked up. He was submitted that. And so he has welcomed that to give him some guidance. And no, again, it is not the work of the local station board or the governance LSB, but management. And I'm very concerned that Paulina has just said, because the IGM never communicated that to us, that he has no access to the allegiance. There are many problems with allegiance, and had several people been involved during that negotiation of that contract, this would have never happened. We would have gone and taken care of contracted with another organization, but this is presenting many challenges. No cost at all for any of the fund drives is unacceptable. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So just to clarify for everyone, the budget that we're talking about is the budget for the current fiscal year, which actually runs out September 30th. Normally, such a budget would be approved before the fiscal year ever begins. And we're facing a situation where we're operating essentially without a budget through most of the fiscal year. In terms of the decision to concentrate on the audit, we just need to recognize the cost of that, which is that the local station board does have the responsibility to review the finances of the station on a quarterly basis, and we don't have the March financials yet, which would be the end of the second quarter of the fiscal year. So those are just realities that we're facing. Pauline, do you have your hand up again? You need to unmute, and I see Eric. And then we have to move on.
Thank you. No, I changed my mind. I do need to say something. I just thought that Lawrence, I hope somebody just says something. I mean, that outburst was offensive and inappropriate, and I just wanted to stand up for our secretary, who was just asking questions, and I really hope that there's some kind of an apology and correction, of course. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Pauline. I did mute Lawrence, take responsibility for doing that in the midst of what he said. He can object to me later, but it was inappropriate. Eric Jacobson is next, and I see your hand, Lawrence.
I second what Paulina just said, but also wanted to point out that I'm also on the audit committee, and the last notice that we received was on May 1st from Eileen Rosen. We also talked about a tentative meeting for tomorrow of the audit committee, but unless others have updated information, it hasn't been confirmed for a fact that the audit committee is meeting tomorrow, to my knowledge. And I just checked my email from Eileen and didn't see anything subsequent to May 1st when we were advised that the audit had, in fact, successfully been submitted that was due, the 2019 one. So that's an update on that. I just wanted to say thank you.
Okay, thanks. Lawrence?
Yes, and I hope I don't get muted. As a person of color on this board, I'm always being subjectified by European descendant people in regards to the way I attempt to address things. Now, I'm always open to criticism and self-criticism, but in regards to being called a bully, that's the same kind of language that the Yes campaign has been using against me, in particular a board member that is currently on this board, Sandy Charles, trolling the internet, calling me all sorts of names. So hold on, please. I'm getting to my point. I'm not above apologizing to Ms. Rome and to anybody else I offended. But yet, people need to start taking an anti-racist perspective in regards to the way they address BIPOC people, in particular European and descendant people. Thank you. So I apologize to you, Janine, for calling you dizzy.
All right. Thank you, Lawrence. We're going to move on to public comments about the finances, and then we'll get to the other committee reports. There's a lot of stuff going up into the chat. Does anybody want to comment from the, I see Andrew Weiss. Go ahead.
Yeah, as a listener member, listening to our representatives converse with each other, I would like to say I would really like to see some respect paid to each other in conducting business. We're not here to fight with each other. or hopefully you folks aren't there to fight with each other. We're here to take care of the business of KPFK, which is very important. This station is very important to us and to our community and to our world. We need to take care of this business. And I think, in my opinion, put aside any personal opinions of each other. This isn't about personalities. This is about taking care of business. And I'd like to point out, I don't know if you others heard, but well, one of your members was speaking and said that she had raised her hand raised. I heard another member say, "Your hand is always raised." I think that is offensive and uncalled for, and I would like that person to acknowledge themselves, who that was, who they were, and apologize and refrain from personal attacks. Every member of this committee, of this board, has a right to raise their hand when they want, as often as they want. And no one has a right to say a statement like that. So again, I would like an acknowledgement, an apology, and a refrain from that kind of behavior. And I would like the chair to acknowledge that and to maintain order amongst the members here. Thank you.
Thank you. You're correct. I didn't call attention to that, but it was uncalled for. I wasn't sure where the comment came from because I couldn't see it. But I try to lower people's hands as they're up, and people re-raise them, so nobody has their hands up all the time. We're taking public comment right now, so I see members of the board with their hands up, but we're going to the public. I have 7138 on the phone.
Yes, this is Margot, and this has to do with the finances a bit, because I believe that if a program is repeated and there is this is just a little thing because I'm so devoted, that if a person has made a grant, I mean a matching fund on one program, and if that program is repeated, I think it would be okay to ask that donor if they would be willing to match any contributions that come in during the repeat program. It just might be a little other way of making some extra money because other people might be listening at that time that didn't get a chance to do it the first time. So it's just my little idea of how to keep on raising money, getting the people involved and knowing that they're helping. And the grant people could probably afford it. You know, that it's very lovely that they do it. And we could just say, okay, could you be willing that if we repeat it, let the people know they can still be matched. So I think that would be an incentive, and I appreciate that. And I may have to be departing from the phone call, but I appreciate your work and conscientiousness and our ability to communicate and solve our problems, as we, the listener sponsors, are the actual ones who fund this, and we are really definitely important to be involved, and we appreciate the opportunity. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Dr. Halley is next. Dr. Halley, you have the floor.
Thank you. I believe I heard a little while ago someone mention that the interim general manager is thinking about renewing the contract with Ms. Blasdale. And I would like to say that I strongly oppose this. Let me see if I can put this in larger context. I found a number of my friends and other members that through the years, we often have some just awful content during the pledge drives, the fund drives. And much of this goes under the general rubric of alternative approaches to spirituality, let's say. Now, I've been a holistic practitioner and a member of the general medical community for more than 25 years, so I'm not hard-nosed, you know, stuck-in-the-mud practitioner, let's say. But I find that many of the people featured during these programs, they often have very little in the way of credentials at all. And some of them are just outright what I would call hucksters and charlatans. And much of this stuff has been supported by hosts like Ms. Blasdale. I would like to suggest to this woman, who last time I heard is not in the country, is in New Zealand, I think we should terminate our connection with her and come up with some material related to people with genuine credentials. It can be alternative ones, but with some kind of credentials, and having more of a fresh quality, let's say. I think we need to end that connection and end connection with other folks that are producing that kind of very marginal material. God, I can't think of the other guests right now, but there are several people that they're just that recommend things like the use of pine oil, or that everyone has colon problems. Just it's a very marginal, questionable material. I guess that's all for now. Thank you.
Muted. I'm sorry. Are there additional public comments? I don't see or hear anyone, so we're going to go on to the other committee reports. We have a substantial body of work from the Governance Committee, and I'm trying to see if I can get some of that into the chat. Hang on a second. Okay, there were three motions from the Governance Committee. The first one deals with the question of having electronic meetings. There have been, you know, we've had a number of issues that got raised by the tellers, essentially, when we did some elections here. And so, and then Beth raised some questions nationally that have been put forward around the question of having electronic meetings. My laptop for the Zoom call, and so I don't have the text in front of me. Janine, would you mind reading the motion around the electronic communications? You have to mute.
Yep. Just a moment. I'm getting it.
So we did forward it to everybody. Essentially, it's a motion to authorize conducting our meetings in this way going forward, even at the end of the pandemic, because we think there's probably going to be mixed meetings where people will participate, some by Zoom and some in person, even if some restrictions are lifted. And there's also a requirement that if you have such meetings, and we're not currently really abiding by it, which is that everybody participating, the members participating, must be audible to each other and able to communicate with each other. And Mr. Payne, unfortunately, is not currently on these meetings. It's not clear if he has no microphone or he doesn't want to use it, but that won't be acceptable going forward if we adopt this. Can you read it, Jeanine?
Sure. consent to use electronic transmissions. Because of the continuing impact of the pandemic and the extensive geographic area covered by the transmission and the membership pool of KPFK, the local station board hereby authorizes the use of electronic or telephone virtual attendance at meetings of the board and its committees, in whole or in part, subject to the condition that all members at any meeting can hear and be heard by all members throughout the meeting, and with the following consent by LSB members individually. In accordance with Corporation Code 20 and 5079 and the bylaws of Pacifica Foundation, Inc., a California nonprofit, the corporation, the undersigned hereby agrees to the following. One, the corporation may send meeting notices, annual reports, and all other materials, records, quote unquote, to me by electronic transmission at the email address or fax number listed below. Two, the corporation may rely on communication sent by me to the corporation by electronic transmission from the email address or fax number listed below for any purposes, including action or written consent. I hereby certify that the corporation may reasonably conclude that I am the author of the communication sent. Number three, I understand that I have the right to have all records provided or made available on paper or in non-electronic form, but only if requested by me in writing. Requested records shall be provided within reasonable period of time. Four, the corporation board and its various committees may conduct meetings virtually through telephonic conference calls and or audiovisual remote electronic technology that allow all members of the board and committees to hear and be heard by and respond to each other in real time and to receive real-time communications from the public. I hereby consent to the participating in meetings conducted in this manner and pledge to fulfill my responsibility to participate in making such meetings compliant with pertinent legal requirements. Electronic transmission may be sent and received to me as follows. And then this consent shall remain in full force and effect until I revoke it in writing and so notify the corporation.
All the members of the board were sent that, and we'll have some discussion, but I'm hoping that we can just adopt it without too much controversy. And then please fulfill it by signing it, dating it, giving us the contact information you wish to use. I see a hand from Paulina. Did you still want to speak, Paulina? Or is that just a remnant?
It's a remnant of hours gone by. Yes, let me just lower that. Thank you.
Okay. Beth has a hand up, and then Bella.
Mr. Chair, I second the motion.
Doesn't require a second, Bella. It's from a committee. Yeah. Thank you. Beth,
yes.
Go ahead.
But, you know.
No, it was Beth and then Bella. So go ahead, Beth. Beth, I'm good. You have to unmute yourself. Beth, did you wish to speak? You raised your hand just then.
Do you hear me? Do you hear
me? Now I can, yes. Go ahead.
I have to get back to my notes. Yes, I would like to point out that compliance with regulations isn't optional, and that I think the motion would be stronger if, rather than list the specific requirements, any specific requirements, we state simply that we will conduct telephonic meetings, quote unquote, in compliance with all applicable laws, regulations, bylaws, and policies. That way, as laws, bylaws, laws, regulations, bylaws, and policies evolve, which they are pretty rapidly right now because of the current state of the world, we won't have to amend this policy as we go. It'll stay compliant. And that way, too, we avoid the weakness introduced when we start changing the language without legal advice, like by replacing the word audible with can be heard. It's not quite the same thing. There are legal distinctions. So I would move to amend that we replace the specific stipulations with the phrase in compliance with all applicable laws, regulations, bylaws, and policies.
Okay, thank you. Are there any objections to that amendment? I saw some applause from Jan Goodman. I assume that was what you were saying. All right, hearing none, we'll...
Excuse me, I'm not trying to applaud. I'm actually... I couldn't... It didn't show me the hand up, so I was trying to put my hand up.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, was this on a different point, or did you...
No, it's on this point. It's on this
okay.
point.
All right, go ahead.
I just wanted to clarify. I mean, I agree with Ms. Von Gutten's amendment, but I wanted to clarify the intent or effect of this motion on the ability of Robert Payne to participate as he has been without a microphone. He is able to hear and he's able to participate via the chat. And I just wanted to clarify if there was some, like if this was in some way going to eliminate his ability to participate.
Beth, is your hand back up to speak to that?
Yes, it is.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Yes, I'm aware of the way Mr. Payne attends now. I'm also aware that he attends the GM search committee audibly over, I don't know if it's telephone line or Skype or what, but we can hear him. He can hear us. We're all able to exchange freely back and forth, which is what the law requires. So it's not up to us to determine that. That's stipulated by the law. That's why I suggest we stick to the language of the law itself rather than try to make it up as we go along. So
So I understand that might mean Mr. Payne would mean Mr. Payne would need to alter the way he's taking part in these meetings. I am aware that he has the capacity to do so or has demonstrated that capacity in other KPFK meetings. Thank you.
So, excuse me. Sorry, a little dehydrated. Just to point out, it is problematic because people who are on the call who are on the phone can't see the chat. And so Mr. Payne makes comments in the chat, but people who are on the phone are not aware of that unless someone reads it into the record. It is difficult. Mr. Reyes, you had your hand up?
And
may I be back on the stack, please?
Yeah, after Lawrence. Go ahead.
So I keep hearing the law being thrown up. As someone who perhaps I think the law entitles people to due process, and one of the concerns one of the issues I have is the law also says there's a Americans with Disability Act, and I'm concerned that maybe this hasn't been codified legally. So I'm concerned about those people who are challenged linguistically. Please put yourself on mute, Oscar. Those people who are challenged in regards to verbal speech that may come on the board. So the question I have for the proponents of this motion is, has this been codified with the ADA to see if this will in any way infringe their ability to to participate in our board meetings or in future board meetings? And also, what legal citation are we talking about when we draw up the law? Thank you.
There was an asterisk in the motion as presented that referred to the need to make accommodations under the Americans with Disabilities Act, but I see Beth's hand up again. Did you want to comment, Beth?
I think Jan was after me, Chair.
Okay, but you were asking a question about the law, and Beth was the one who raised that.
Okay,
the law,
so. Okay, thank you.
And then I can go after Beth if she wants to go. Or I can ask. Or I can make a statement.
Well, go ahead.
Hello, do you hear me now? Do you hear
yes,
me
we now? Can now. You have to unmute yourself.
Okay, I end up double muted if I mute myself, and then one of the hosts mutes me also. It doesn't always work immediately and automatically to unmute, so it may take a moment. That's why I always ask, can you hear me? So... thank you. Yes, specifically in response to Lawrence. If I'm not mistaken, this did come up in discussions of this motion. I think it was at the governance committee, and so Lawrence would have been a party to that. I cited the ADA as providing for reasonable accommodation, and the reasonable accommodation made it into the motion, but citation of the ADA did not, and I would also like to include in my amendment that we cite the ADA or Americans with Disabilities Act, even better, in that asterisk at the bottom, so that people know where that authority. We need to cite our authority in stating that, so that people know where to go to find out what their rights are. And so this doesn't the Communications Act, whatever. Regular. I provided all that to the committee up ahead of this, and I could do it all again, but that information has been provided. And those, the current laws regarding telephonic or teleconference communications in boards and committees doesn't in any way displace the ADA. It has to provide for the ADA. It wouldn't have gotten onto the books if it were in conflict, or it would have been challenged by now. And the U.S. Access Board provided a webinar specifically on this back in January. I provided to at least the committee, if not the whole board, links to that webinar if anyone wanted to pursue it. I can provide that again if people are interested. But all of this is very well documented. And again, you know, compliance isn't really an option. These are requirements. And if we want to be in compliance with the law and not put ourselves in legal jeopardy, not only it's not really up to us whether we agree or not, we're just required to do it. So thank you.
Beth, can you put the language of your amendment into an email and send it, since you're on the phone, you can't put it in the chat. Someone will receive it and put it in the chat for the people who, you know, want to see the exact language.
Yes, I've been preparing that as we, but then I stopped to respond. So thank you.
Yeah,
I am
thank
doing
you.
That.
Yeah, thank you. Go ahead. Jan, you're next.
Yes, so I was going to suggest that people have problems with Mr. Payne only putting things in the chat, that we can assign someone to read his comments in order. And for instance, I will do that right now because he just made some comments so that the people who are not looking at the chat can hear them. And this is the way that we can solve this problem. Mr. Payne said at 1:04 p.m., consider this. I do not name call. I do not speak in anger. And when I participate on telephone, I speak in monosyllables. I believe these are issues. There are issues far more vital to the survival of KPFK than my ability to speak. This issue does not affect the survival of KPFK. So the point here is that this seems like a kind of a false problem. I'm happy to say that we're going to go along with the law, but I think that we don't have to say it. That's just the law. You know, it's like saying putting in something in our LSB or in our bylaws or something that says we're not going to steal. Of course we're not going to steal. It's against the law. So I'm wondering what's the point of saying we're going to abide by the law. I mean, I don't have anything against it. I agree we should abide by the law, but what's the point? Thank you.
All right. So the main point of this motion is to authorize ourselves to have these meetings and to comply with the law in having them. And
I agree with that. Sorry, I apologize.
To authorize ourselves to, we don't want to have to go through the thing that we've gone through three times now with Terry Goodman and John Gary as tellers, where we have to pass a specific motion authorizing the conduct of a particular vote by email. The purpose of this resolution is to try to bring us into compliance with the law and have one blanket authorization for continuing to allow people to participate in these meetings telephonically or electronically when we resume in-person meetings, which we probably will be doing at some point, including our listeners who live anywhere from Santa Barbara to San Diego. So that's the main point of the motion. I don't want to get lost in the weeds. Bella had her hand up and then Janine.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I disagree with Jan Goodman. I feel that this, after reading it carefully, I do consider that this motion addresses all the issues encompassing law binding requirements. And I'm glad that Lawrence brought up the Americans with Disabilities Act, but Beth noted that this has been taken into account, and I want to see that amendment as soon as possible so that we can go for a vote, because I think this is very important. If Mr. Payne makes himself accessible at other meetings, there is no argument and no excuse why it should not be replicated in this forum. And this presents challenges to all of us. And not only that, it also crosses over who is in the meeting at what time in the meeting. And all of this is all tied together at the hip. So let's keep that in mind as well. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. I see a note from Jan Goodman in the chat that she doesn't have any problems with the motion as amended. Janine, you're next, and I'd like to take it to a vote or at least see if there are no objections. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to exactly what Bella said. It's very difficult to track who is in the meeting and who isn't in the meeting when they're not, when they don't phone in. And the other thing is, and Rocio's in another body with me, where, you know, this sets a precedent too, that people are present, that members are present in a meeting without being on the call and audible. And this can work negatively. If somebody can't get on the call, if they can't join, then they are forced to go into the chat. That is to set a precedent that that somebody's still participating when that happens is not a good thing. So that's it. Thank you.
Okay. I'll just note that in the chat, Mr. Payne indicated that he could call in on a phone, and I think he should do so. Other members are doing that. Did somebody get the email from Beth? And if so, can they put it in the chat? Let me take a look and see myself.
There is no email yet.
Yeah, there is. Hang on a second.
Oh, you have it?
Yeah.
I have not. Oh. I cannot check now. I cannot check now. If you could read it, Mr. Chair, that would be good.
Okay, so it says, in compliance with all applicable laws, regulations, bylaws, and policies, and to name the Americans with Disabilities Act in the section on accommodations. And I think the intent is clear. And are there any objections? Hearing none, let's move on to the next motion, and it's another technical one. We've had continuing difficulties with our committees because there is a policy passed some years ago that has never been honored in practice, saying that the LSB has to vote on every individual non-LSB member who joins a committee. So we drafted some language and governance to change the policy in writing and supersede all previous policies to reflect what our actual practice has been. Could you read that one, Janine?
Sorry, getting ready to do that.
Yeah, thank you. It's fairly lengthy, but essentially it's a motion that acknowledges that we have non-LSB members on our committees, that they become members by serving on the committee for 3 consecutive meetings, either right at the start of the year, that there's continuing membership on the committees, that if the people have been on the LSB and on a committee, or they're non-members of the LSB who have been on a committee, they are considered members for purposes of a quorum from the first meeting of the year. And there are a few other technical details to go with that, but.
I just put it in the chat as well. So
okay,
proposed membership policy on LSB committees. The pertinent section of bylaws regarding LSB advisory committees states, Article 7, Local Station Board, Section 10, Local Station Board Advisory Committees. A, an LSB may, by resolution, designate one or more advisory committees to serve at the pleasure, direction, and supervision of the LSB. Any such advisory committee shall include at least 2 LSB members. Members affiliated with that radio station shall be eligible for appointments to a committee. Station advisory committee members shall not be considered agents of the foundation or the radio station and shall not have the authority to bind the foundation or the radio station with which it is affiliated. B, Meetings and actions of local station advisory committees shall be governed by the provisions of Section 6 of this article of the bylaws, with such changes as are necessary in said provisions to substitute the committee and its members for the LSB and its members, except that the time of regular meetings of the committees may be determined by resolution of the LSB as well as a vote of the committee, and that the committee shall not be required to meet in December or January unless they otherwise agree, or the LSB resolves that it should do so, and provided that notice of the committee meetings shall be deemed adequate if announced at LSB meetings and, when feasible, posted on the station's webpage. Special meetings of committees may also be called by a resolution of the LSB or the committee. The LSB may adopt additional rules for government of any committee that are not consistent with the provisions of these bylaws. C, the general duty of advisory committee shall be to advise the LSB on the issues for which the committee was created. Advisory committee shall have only those duties and powers set forth by the resolution of the LSB, which powers shall not include the power to, one, approve any action which under California nonprofit public benefit corporation law or these bylaws requires the approval of the members, directors, and the LSB or the delegates. Two, fill the vacancies on the board, LSB, or any committee. Three, amend or repeal these bylaws or adopt new bylaws. Four, amend or repeal any resolution of the board or the LSB. Five, create any other committees of the board or LSB. Six, approve or execute any contract or transaction. Or seven, incur any indebtedness or borrow money on behalf of the foundation or any LSB. In order to regularize the membership and election process at KPFK Local Station Board Committees, the LSB adopts the following policy protocol. LSB and non-LSB members who comply with these processes will be considered to be thereby appointed and said committee to said committee in accordance with Article 7, Section 10A. In adopting this policy, the LSB recognizes the following standing committees to which the below protocol applies. Governance, responsible for drafting agendas for the LSB meetings and considering procedural motions, bylaws amendments, and other similar business. Finance, responsible for working with management on budget proposals and financial evaluation. Program oversight, responsible for working with management to ensure that programming fulfills the Pacifica mission and serves the community, and that programming decisions and evaluations are fair and collaborative. And fundraising, responsible for organizing and implementing the LSB's fundraising efforts. Committees to which the following membership protocol does not apply include the personnel or other special management search or evaluation committees whose membership is by election, or the outreach committee, a working committee whose membership is open to all KPFK members prepared to do the work of outreach and community engagement for the station. One, LSB committees are generally open to listener and staff members of KPFK in good standing to participate unless a particular meeting is in closed session by reason of confidential or proprietary matters under consideration, or if a committee as a whole has an elected membership of by virtue of dealing with confidential personnel matters. Two, meetings and methods of participation shall be posted on kpftx.org, on the kpfk.org website, and announced at LSB meetings and on the periodic LSB report to the listener aired on the station. CART announcements on air of LSB and committee meeting schedules are also desirable and necessary. Three, members who wish to participate on standing open LSB committees are encouraged to attend the first three committee meetings of the year during which committee membership is established. 4, all LSC committees must have at least 2 LSC members. 5, except for committees where membership is by election, such as management, search, and evaluation committees, all LSC members up to a maximum of 12 who attend the first 3 meetings of the committee or any 3 subsequent consecutive meetings, exclusive of excused absences for special meetings, will be considered committee members in good standing and eligible to vote. LSC members shall sign up with the secretary for the committees on which they are interested in serving, but must serve and show up on the committees for the first 3 meetings to maintain membership. At the first 3 meetings of the year, anyone who has previously served on the same committee or LSC members who have expressed their intention to join will be eligible to vote. 6, any non-LSB member who is a listener or staff member in good standing of KPFK who attends the first 3 meetings of a committee during which committee membership is established, up to a maximum of 1 less than the number of LSB members on the committee, will be considered a committee member in good standing and eligible to vote. Until the maximum is reached, non-members of the LSC may also join by attending any 3 consecutive meetings, exclusive of excused absences for special meetings. 7, if LSC members or non-LSC members desirous of membership exceed the maximum, selection will be by lot. All those attending committee member meetings and respect common rules of decorum will have voice when recognized by the chair, even if not members of the committee, but only members will count towards quorum and have a vote. 9, membership of the committee will be set at the 3rd meeting, inclusive of all LSC and non-LSC members who have attended all 3 meetings, which will determine the quorum for future meetings, 50% plus 1, of the total membership, including at least 2 LSB members. 10, pro tem officers will be elected for the committee's first meeting of the year with all members in good standing and attendance able to vote. Permanent officers will be elected at the 3rd meeting following a roll call that determines the voting membership and quorum. That's it.
Okay, so it's a long motion, but basically what it says is that if you participate in a committee, you're a member of the committee. And once we establish the quorum, you can vote on the committee. If you've been participating in the committee, you will continue as a member. The reason for the motion is that we ran into a lot of problems with trying to elect officers for our committee because since we've been meeting electronically and we want to have a written ballot required, we applied to Terry Goodman, maybe John Gary was involved as well, I'm not sure, to be a teller for a committee election, and he started to cite all these pre-existing policies. John Gary in the chat says, didn't the PNB pass a motion a few years ago preventing non-LSB members from voting in committees? Is that still in force? And honestly, we don't know. It's been honored in the breach. That's the reason we're adopting this motion now, hopefully, that will allow people to participate in the committees as full members. I see Beth's hand up.
Yes, thank you. First, just to point out that this has been an issue on other committees as well, specifically the Programming Oversight Committee. It's one set of rules that should apply, you know, across the board. I've sent out a proposed amendment to element number 10 in this proposal, specifically applying to the Finance Committee, proposing that we revert to what we have done in the past and what's done at other stations. It reads, this is just for the Finance Committee. Other committees don't have a pertinent elected officer connected with them. So the proposed amendment reads, the KPFK Finance Committee shall be chaired by the KPFK Treasurer. And my motivation is that WBAI does it this way and always has. I've been told WPFW does it this way, but I haven't been able to find it in writing yet. KPFK or KPFA doesn't have committees. KPFT is in open conflict, as we have become since splitting those functions. And KPFK used to do it this way. And it's only been since we deviated from that past standard that the disputes have become really disruptive. I would point out that it's not set up in the bylaws, so it's up to us, and that the treasurer is an elected position. Thank you.
Chair, request for information, Lawrence.
Yeah, go ahead, Lawrence.
Did we pass the previous motion?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
We asked
so this is the motion on the floor now. Okay, thank you.
Yes. We're going to take a discussion on Beth's amendment, the KPFK
Mr.
finance.
Mr. Chair, I read it by hand.
Yeah, hang on a second. Let me read the amendment again, because not everybody maybe heard it. It's quoting it from her email. The KPFK Finance Committee shall be chaired by the KPFK Treasurer. Go ahead, Bella.
Yes, I fully object, and the reason being is that this is a dictatorship that existed for a number of years, and these are the years under which there was little to no oversight of KPFK. And this is a convenient amendment, and I vote to reject this amendment because it needs to be applicable to every committee. This is a general protocol to be applied to every committee. And in answer to Lauren Thrayer's question, yes, the previous motion was passed on April. Hold on, it was passed on April 17, 2016.
No, he was asking about the earlier motion from governance about the electronic.
Oh, well, I'm so sorry. Yeah. I did not hear the specific. Okay, thank you.
I don't know. I'll just speak. I was treasurer of KPFK some years ago, the Localization Board. In my prior service, the first year that I was elected treasurer, there was a separate finance committee chair, who was Kim Kaufman. So there's a long history here of having separate treasurers and finance committee chairs. It doesn't necessarily lead to disputes or problems, but that's my two cents. Any further discussion of Beth's amendment from members of the board?
Fred.
Go ahead.
Do I have the floor?
Yeah, go ahead.
I note, looking at this policy document, it's much more complicated, much longer than the two previous policies on committee membership. In the 2007 policy, there's an explicit point saying that the the chair of all committees would be LSB member. This policy that you've presented has no statement on the status of the chair. That's it.
Janine, go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to comment that I think that's on purpose. I do think that it works well to have both someone that's been elected by the board as well as the chair be someone that is elected by the committee. All the other committees work that way, and I don't see any issue with it. To me, the main reworking of this policy was to allow the committee, the people that are non-LSC, the reason this got dove into is to allow non-LSC members of committees participate in the election of the chair of that committee. And I think that that's healthy. So thank you.
Chair, point of order, Lawrence.
Go ahead, Mr. Reyes.
Was there a second to Beth's motion?
No, there was not. Is there a second?
So this discussion is premature.
Fred seconds it.
Okay, thank you. So I'll just take the prerogative of the chair for a moment to point out that neither the treasurer nor the secretary are required to be members of the local station board. If we were to pass a requirement that the chair of the finance committee is the treasurer, and a requirement that the chair of committees has to be an LSB member, those could easily conflict with each other. Other comments from the
could Fred comment? If a non-LSB member is made treasurer of the board, that person automatically becomes an ex officio member of the LSB, a non-voting ex officio member of the LSB. So I think logically then that person could be the chair of the local finance committee because they are an ex officio member of the board. Thank you.
Okay. I heard one objection from Bella to the, is there another objection to the amendment?
Yeah, my hand is raised. May I be recognized?
Okay, go ahead,
Janine objected as well.
All right. Go ahead, Lawrence.
So, you know, this is becoming clear to me. I'm kind of vacillating in regards to whether to support this or not. I really understand that, for lack of a better word, that this could be disenfranchising the potential participation of listeners to be able to be elected chair by the committee. I know, and I share this in governance. I know when previous boards, when I was not on the board, specifically block listeners from being on committees and did not want listeners on committees. So the previous motion was to address that. But this motion concerns me because it may have that effect. So I think that should be a decision. I agree with Janine and with others that should be a decision that should be left up to the committee to elect who's going to be chair and not chair. Notwithstanding the SAFU that happened at the local finance committee in regards to the election and being able to enfranchise a chair. I'm vacillating, so I don't know which way I'm gonna go, but I have some concerns now that things have been pointed out to me. Thank you,
Mr. Chair.
One more comment, Bella. Go ahead.
I want to be clear that I believe there could be some confusion. There's an amendment on the floor right now, not the original motion. So was Mr. Lauren speaking to the amendment or the original motion? I'm sorry?
He was speaking
Chair,
to the amendment.
I was speaking to the amendment.
Good. And then I wanted to be clear because of what was just said. This motion is to enfranchise, is to not disenfranchise. The previous policy was to disenfranchise and keep it very, very tight. And the participation of non-LSB members was barred. I was barred. Mr. Lawrence was barred. Many other people who regularly attended all the committees were immediately shunned out. So I want us to be aware of that. And this is the perfect solution to it. This is why it's so lengthy.
Okay. You're speaking to the main motion, though.
I am sorry. The main motion.
Yes, I'm saying, but that's not what I understand. But that's not what's on the floor at the moment, Bella. What's on the floor right now is the amendment.
Yes, I am against. I'm against this amendment.
Okay. Understood. Thank you.
This is Alan Beek. May I speak?
Yes, go ahead.
I'm opposed to this motion. I don't like this over formalization of something that should be much more informal. I think that I would support repealing the 2016 motion, which I thought was equally improper. I think we should just do our subcommittee work informally. without going through all these elaborate rules requiring complicated rule-taking and counting of attendance and all that kind of stuff. Let's be informal. Get a lot more work done.
Mr. Chair, I believe Mr. Beek is confused between the amendment
and
sorry,
the motion. I'm sorry. Excuse me, Bella. Bella, thank you. He was speaking, as you were, he was speaking to the main motion, not the amendment. I see two hands up from board members, which is Beth Van Gunten and Janine Roan again. Beth, did you want to speak?
Yes, thank you. I would point out that this, in fact, this amendment would, in fact, simplify the process, I think, at least to that degree, addressing Mr. Beek's concern about the larger motion. That we already elect a treasurer, and with the amendment I've offered, that person would also chair the committee. I would point out too that when that function is split, it's not that the treasurer represents us at the national level on the national NFC. That's when this issue became real for me. It's when we speak with a split voice like that, it weakens our position on the national committee. It undermines the position of treasurer, and it means that the chair of the local finance committee is not in that loop, and so they tend to operate independently of each other or not coordinated. And so we get conflicting information, conflicting, process. And I think it's important that we harmonize that. I think it's one of the reasons that there's so much disorder on finance, you know, at every level in Pacifica. Thank you.
All right. I see Janine, and then I think we're going to take some public comment before we vote. Go ahead, Janine. Mm-hmm.
Well, I just wanted to say that, I've been both an non-LSC member on the Finance Committee and an LSC member on the Finance Committee, and I would have probably been less likely to participate in the committee if my voice wasn't heard as far as the chair. And it's just a straight up, you participate in this so that you have influence. And, unfortunately, Fred Blair is arguing that the treasurer should be the chair of the finance committee when he's the treasurer. You know, it's hard to consider that as a real non-partial. And the last thing I want to say is, Beth, I know that you've participated this year, but it's been a very unusual year for the finance committee. And so I would not, to me, the limited exposure you've had has been on some very hot seat months, I would say. And normally I found that if we can turn a corner, that having two people involved in the different, in fact, it might be too much for one person to be doing both. Thank you.
Okay, so I am going to take public comment before we vote on this. In the chat, there's a question, can non-LSB members of committees vote before the third meeting? And the answer to that would be yes, if they've already been participating in the previous year on the committee. And I'm sorry that it's so complicated, but we're forced to constitute our committees every year anew, and we're trying to cover all those things in the rules. It's not just about drafting rules for the sake of rules. I see a hand up from Dr. Halley and from somebody whose number ends in 3948. Dr. Halley, go ahead.
Hi, before I assume. Hello?
Dr. Halley, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Yes, well, I'm hoping that I can speak to the overall motion and not wait till later.
Go ahead.
I'd like to strongly recommend that people vote down on this motion. Now, there seems to be some ambiguity here. This is very wordy. But I think I do see this as somewhat disenfranchising, to use Mr. Reyes's word, the committee members. It looks like there's a possibility that if one is not
I'm sorry, at the first three meetings of the year, one may not become an actual member. That's my first concern. And the second one is that I'm not sure I'm comfortable with the requirement of two LSB members on every committee. As a matter of fact, I've had some experience in various committees, including the PROC, Program Oversight Committee, where there were some board members that super lorded themselves over the meeting, and we weren't able to address some important issues. So there are more, but I think those are perhaps the two important issues. I think that the committees should have a certain amount of independence and certainly allow quite a lot of communication or discussion of different issues, and then be able to bring those issues and even some motions to the LSB for serious consideration. I think that's it. Vote down,
okay,
please.
Thanks.
Thank you.
I have 3948 and then Andrew Weiss. You have to unmute. You need to unmute yourself, 818.
Oh, what?
I don't know. Andrew Weiss, go ahead.
Yes. Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to advise whatever rules you set up, that you have rules and that they be clear and they apply to everybody. Without rules, we're setting ourselves up for abuse and confusion. The Magna Carta, which is what our democracy is based on, was put in place to have rules for our governance, that they be written down, that they apply to everybody, including the king. And I think we should follow that. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, thank you. 3948, I see you're unmuted. Go ahead.
Yes, this is Jonathan Markowitz. I have a question about this proposal. First of all, who submitted it and drafted the original version? That's number one.
I did that based on the problems that arose in several committees where the, as I said, the teller reported the earlier policy was the only binding thing he could find, which required the LSB to vote on who could be a member of the committees. So I tried to draft something that was based on our actual practice, which has not been that. We basically had the practice that people who join a committee and participate on a regular basis become members of the committee. The requirement for two LSB members on any committee is in the bylaws that were read at the beginning, the bylaw citation that was read at the beginning. It's not, or didn't originate with this motion.
Okay. And that, and the requirement is that members, non-LSB members, can only be members of committees after they've attended three consecutive meetings, or three total, or is that the previous proposal?
It was either the first three meetings or after that. If you join later, it's three consecutive meetings. We didn't want people dropping in and out and dabbling on committees and disrupting the thing by not really participating. We wanted to have continuity of membership.
And you were the person who drafted that requirement?
Yes. Okay. Well, I drafted it. We discussed it. There was a back and forth. I raised the question to everybody on the governance committee about whether we wanted to have consecutive. We came up with compromise that if somebody missed a special meeting, they could get an excused absence that wouldn't interfere with their three consecutive meetings.
Your position and the other people who are in favor of this on the LSB, that this type of requirement in terms of non-LSB members, in terms of their participation, be applied to all of the committees or only the ones that you're designating?
Part of what the motion does is it regularizes the fact that we have standing committees of governance, finance, fundraising, and program oversight, and it applies to those committees. It doesn't apply to outreach, because outreach historically has been basically a working committee with the largest number of members possible, without regard to whether on the LSB or not, and it doesn't apply to the management evaluation committees, because those are elected.
Okay, I just want to bring up one point about this, is that in terms of enforcement, that would require that either the chair or the person managing the committee meetings would have to somehow be able to have a record of who, which non-LSB members in attendance have a right to vote or not on whatever items they're authorized to once they have their membership has been determined by either consecutive or the first three meetings.
We are supposed to keep minutes of our meetings and keep roll, and those are supposed to get posted to kpfdx.org.
I'm just referring to in real time as the meeting is proceeding. That in other words, if some non-LSB members, some non-board members vote and they're not authorized to, would that be the chair's responsibility to bring that up, or the secretary of that committee? At that time, during or before a vote?
Yes, the chair and the secretary would keep track of the membership of the committee.
Okay.
That's standard operating procedure, and anybody I've ever been on, you know who your members are before you vote.
Okay, I didn't know that that non-board members were voting on committees. That's fine.
Yes. It's to make clear that members of the committee, regardless of whether they're on the LSB or not, vote on committee matters.
Okay. I'm sorry I took up so much time. Is there going to be one more public comment period before you guys vote on these or not?
No, we're voting on this one now, and there'll be another public comment period later in the meeting
about
other matters. Okay, so...
I have a request for information. And,
go ahead, Lawrence.
Point of procedure. Can this motion be read, the amendment be read before we vote on it? And also, I'm leaning towards voting no. Thank you.
Okay. The amendment was put in the chat. Basically, the amendment is that the elected treasurer of the LSB would serve as the chair of the finance committee. It might not be the exact language, but that's the intent.
Chair, okay. This is Paulina.
I'd like
to chair. This
I
is
call
Bella.
For the vote, Chair.
Yes,
I'm
I call for the vote.
Okay, Paulina hasn't spoken. Please let her speak, and then we'll vote. I don't want to hear from the
thank
people.
Thank you. No, I just wanted to thank you, Chair. I just wanted to let folks know that I was I dropped off the call, unfortunately, due to connectivity issues for a while, so I missed. I don't have the chat. And I may have missed some of the important debate. So what was the rationale behind suggesting that, I'm talking about the main motion, non-LSB members can't serve as chair of the committee. That's what I'm asking. Thank you.
The motivation that Beth made is that dividing the responsibility has created disharmony and confusion on the committee, that the elected treasurer is the person who's on the NFC and the chair is not, and then it creates confusion. The other opinion is that the committee...
I'm sorry,
we need to move on.
Mr. Chair?
I'm sorry, you wanted the floor to call the question before. Is there something different?
I believe that when Mr. Markowitz was asking you the question of the three mandatory attendants, I don't think you explained that clear enough. And the all persons.
Okay,
point of order. Can we?
We're voting on the amendment, please. Can you, Janine?
Chair. I'm not sure we have a second to the amendment.
Was a second to the amendment. Fred Blair seconded it.
Okay, great. All right, so I'll go to the vote, correct? On the amendment.
Yes. Everybody clear? This is on the amendment that the elected treasurer of the LSB would serve as the chair of the finance committee, ex officio.
Okay, great. Alan B.
Vote no.
Thank you. Fred Blair.
I vote yes.
Thank you. Sandy Child.
Move on.
Bella DeSoto.
No.
Thank you. Jan Goodman.
I abstain. No, I abstain. Thank you.
Okay. Sorry, I lost track. Then we have Eric C. Jacobson.
Pass.
Thank you. Avelia Jones.
Consider a pass and come back, please.
Okay. Ali Lexa.
Abstain.
Thank you. Barbara Barbach is not here. James Osborne. Okay. Robert Payne.
Robert Payne voted yes in the chat.
Okay. Thank you. Then we have Lydia Ponce.
No.
Thank you. Lawrence Reyes.
No.
Thank you. Rocio Rivas.
No.
Thank you. Paul Roberson.
No.
Thank you. Janine Roan is a no. Mansoor Sabah.
Just continue.
I think he's, yeah. We have Oscar Ulloa. Polina Vasilia.
Passes for now.
Okay. Beth Van Guten.
Yes.
Thank you. Harvey Wasserman.
I abstain.
Thank you. Kiana is not here. I'll go back to Sandy Child. Okay. Eric C. Jacobson.
Reluctant, yes.
Okay. Avelia Jones. Who else is a pass? I can say James Osborne in case he's joined. Okay. Mansoor Sabah again.
Janine.
Yes. Who's that?
I'm sorry, I'm out of order, but I'm very confused about exactly what are we voting for here, because I've heard so much conversation I got thrown.
We're voting on whether the treasurer is the ex officio chair of the finance committee.
I see. Okay, when you're ready for me, I'll vote.
You can vote now.
Yes.
Okay, and then we have, there's so many people missing. James Osborne is not voting. Mansoor is not voting. Oscar Ulloa, are you here?
Okay. Oh, Oscar's in the waiting room. I'm sorry. Hang on a second. Let me admit him. He's joining. He fell. It must have fallen off the call. Oscar, are you back on the call?
Yeah, sorry. I'm driving and my thing is really spotty. No, I vote no.
Okay, thank you. Polina?
Votes no.
Okay, thank you. So I'm just going to move on from trying to get a vote from James or Sandy or Mansoor.
I'm here.
Okay.
I'll vote no.
Okay, so we have a chair. We have 18 votes, 5 yes, 10 no, 3 abstain.
Okay, so it's defeated. We're going on to the main motion. I'll reiterate again that people might not like the detail of it, but the purpose of the main motion is to regularize and authorize non-members of the LSB to participate in LSB committees to the fullest extent possible. Are there any objections to the main motion?
Yes. Hearing none. Yes. Yes.
Okay. All right. I heard one. Was there a second? Ali Lessa objected.
I think Fred Blair also objected, or someone else.
Okay, then we're going to vote.
Yes.
Okay, so this next vote is for the adoption of the proposed policy, correct?
Yeah, policy and protocol to allow non-LSB members to be on LSB committees and to vote on them. And if they're not members and not voting, they can still have voice.
Okay. Alan Beek? I'll come back to Alan if he can unmute and vote. Fred Blair?
No.
Okay. Sandy, thank you. Sandy Childs? Moving on, Bella DeSoto?
Can you hear me? Yes.
Yes, thank you. Jan Goodman?
Pass.
Thank you. Eric C. Jacobson?
Pass.
Thank you. Avelia Jones?
No.
Thank you. Ali Lexa?
No.
Thank you. James Osborne, are you back on? Moving on to Robert Payne.
You voted no in the chat.
Thank you. Lydia Ponce?
Pass. I actually need the motion read again because I had an influx of airplanes leaving Santa Monica Airport for some reason and a helicopter. So it's just too much noise over here. I didn't get to hear.
It's a very long motion, but basically it says that if you participate in the committee for three meetings, you're a member of the committee up to a maximum of one less than the number of LSB members on the committee.
Yeah, that I heard. Okay. All right. Pass and get back to me.
Thank you. Rocio Rivas. Oh, no, sorry. Lawrence Reyes.
Yes.
Thank you. Rocio Rivas.
Yes.
Thank you. Paul Roberson. Not sure. Did you say pass?
No, I said yes.
Okay. Thank you. Janine Roan is a yes. Mansoor Sabah.
Pass.
Thank you. Oscar Yoa.
Yes, to a motion.
Thank you. Paulina Vasilius.
Yes.
Thank you. Beth Van Booten.
Pass.
Thank you. Harvey Wasserman.
I abstain.
Okay, thank you. Going back to Alan Beek, are you able to vote?
Star 6.
I might try to call him.
Lydia Ponce voted in the chat because it's very noisy. She says she votes yes.
Okay, thank you. I'm wondering if somebody can call Alan Beek and see. I'm not sure if he's still on the call. Whether he's just having trouble unmuting, which is often a problem. So I'm going back to Sandy Childs to see if she's back on the call. Okay, Jan Goodman.
You have to unmute, Jan.
I'm going to abstain.
Okay, thank you. Eric C. Jacobson.
A reluctant yes.
Thank you. And then I think we have James Osborne checking to see if he's on the call. And then we have Mansoor Sabah.
Absolutely no.
Okay, thank you. And then Harvey Wasserman.
Jan Goodman, I think I'm going to change my vote to no.
Harvey abstain, Janine.
Yeah, I abstained.
Okay. Harvey, you just said abstain?
Yes, you did.
I'm sorry.
I reiterated. I abstained.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. It was Beth Van Gooten that was a pass.
Yes. I mean, yes, I passed. And if you're asking for my no vote now, then I'm going to abstain.
Okay, so we have.
Did you get the fact that I changed? This is
yes,
Jan.
Yes, I did. So
I changed it to abstain. I mean to no.
So I just want to tell you the votes that I have. Fred Blair is no. Bella DeSoto is yes. Jan Goodman is abstain. Eric.
Jan Goodman changed to no.
Oh, okay. Right. Sorry. Okay, so no. Eric C. Jacobson is a yes. Avelia Jones is a no. Ali Lexa is a no. Robert Payne is a no. Lydia Ponce is a yes. Lawrence Reyes is abstain. Rocio
no.
is
Lawrence.
A... Sorry, Janine. Lawrence Reyes voted in the affirmative. Yes.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Rocio is a yes. Paul Roberson is yes. Janine is yes. Mansoor is no. Oscar is yes. Alina is yes, Beth is abstain, Harvey is abstain. So we have 9 yeses, 6 noes, and 2 abstains for 17 votes.
Chair votes yes.
Okay. So,
moving on.
Yes.
Third motion from governance. Can you read that, Janine?
This is for the third party fundraising. I'm trying to find it, and this is from Elizabeth, right?
It's a committee motion.
I'm just trying to find the whereas. I think I forwarded the wrong...
This is Beth. May I speak?
Yeah.
Yes, I submitted a motion with several motivating whereases and followed by a therefore, and that's not even what got discussed at the committee level. So what got proposed and discussed at the committee level was something different, and it reads as pros.
Okay, so what... So I would imagine that we have to stick with the committee level, went through the committee. Okay, I've got it here. I apologize.
I can read
I'm just
it.
Not used to having
I'll
the
read
time
it.
To read it. Okay.
I can read it. The issue of third-party fundraising by Pacifica stations over the air should be referred immediately to Arthur Schwartz, Pacifica Council, to the compliance officers, to the NETA accountants, to the PNB Governance Committee, and to the FCC compliance attorneys the foundation has retained. We note that the KPFK public file with the FCC has no data or files in the folder on third-party fundraising by non-commercial educational stations. Questions have also been raised about the bookkeeping and fulfillment of commitments made to third parties in such fundraising. We recommend that management pause such fundraising until we get further clarification or clearance from the officers and attorneys mentioned above. And I'll put it in the chat in a second.
Michael, if you don't mind, the reason I couldn't find it is this one I put in the actual agenda. So if anyone's looking to read it, it's in the draft agenda for it.
Yeah, I just put it in the chat too, as read.
Jan Goodman, just
go ahead,
to Jan. Just to make note that we're about to be at time certain, and I propose that this be taken up at the next meeting.
All right, we'll say that's a motion to table.
This is Eric. I move to extend for such time as is needed to get to the motion that I posted in the chat.
I second Jan's motion.
Okay. Second that.
Okay. All right. So motion to extend is on the floor at the moment. We did have a bunch of other business, including other committees and three motions that were under new business. How long did you want the motion? Do you have any time on that, Eric, or just?
It can be by acclamation. I hope I wrote it succinctly and uncontroversially.
No, I'm not talking about your motion. I'm talking about your motion to extend the meeting. Are you saying?
I don't know how long what's left on the agenda, Michael. I'm sorry, I can't educate. I can't give a good estimate of that. How much do you estimate is the current agenda?
As long as necessary.
This is Bella.
Chair, this is Lawrence. I fell off. Can you please update me?
Yeah, we're about to consider a motion to extend the meeting because we're almost at time certain and we have a lot of business left, including other committee reports and the three new business items that were brought up earlier, yours, Eric's, and Bella's. And
thank you, Chair.
So I would estimate that it might take another hour.
Mr. Chair, this is Bella.
Yes, Bella.
My original proposal was 3:00, which was voted down. I reaffirm that 3:00 will give us ample time
to complete our agenda.
Thank you.
That's a one hour extension. Are there objections to extending? Are there objections to extending for 1 hour?
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. We're going to vote on.
Yes. I'd like to motivate, Michael.
I'm sorry. By the time you finish motivating, we'll be out of time for the meeting. We're just going to call the roll on the extension.
Remember, folks, this is the Israel-Palestine issue, and we have a moral obligation not to be silent. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so Alan Beek, this is a motion to extend. Alan Beek, are you on the call?
Chair, may I be recognized for a point of order?
Okay, there's a point of order in the chat also from Ali Alexis. It says the motion to table came before the motion to extend, but the motion to extend is required because otherwise we'll run out of time. So we're taking the motion to extend. If we extend, we'll go back to tabling the other motion that was under consideration, which is the governance motion.
To extend how long?
Point of order.
To extend how long?
We're extending for 1 hour to 3:00. That's the motion if we adopt it. Mr. Reyes, what's your point of order?
I just think that this is a time-sensitive motion that Mr. Jacobson is putting forward, and we are having a serious genocide that's going on in Palestine, and we should take this before we take the next vote. So that's it.
Okay, but the first thing we have to do is extend because we're almost out of time to time certain. So let's just take the vote on extending, and then we can deal with the rest of it.
Okay, so next is Fred Blair.
No.
To extend the... Thank you. Sandy Childs, are you on the call? Bella DeSoto?
Yes.
Thank you. Jan Goodman?
I would vote yes on the Palestinian motion, but I vote no on extending.
Eric C. Jacobson?
Yes.
Thank you. Abelia Jones?
I would vote no on extending this meeting and yes for the Palestinian motion.
Okay, so that's a no. Ali Lexa?
No.
Thank you. James Osborne is not on the call. Robert Payne?
I think he is.
Well, he hasn't voted for the last two, so that's why I said that.
No, I understand.
Okay, Robert Payne. If somebody can look to see if he's voting. Lydia Ponce?
Lydia Ponce voted yes in the chat. I think she's still somewhere in
the room. Okay, thank you.
Yes, yes for both.
Great, thank you. Lawrence Reyes?
Yes.
Thank you. Ruth Rivas?
Yes.
Thank you. Paul Roberson?
Yes and yes.
Janine Roan is above.
Is what?
Janine, we could not hear you.
Oscar Yoa?
Yes and yes.
I don't know if he's on the call.
Yes and yes. And did you hear Oscar?
Am I heavy?
Yeah.
And Mr. Payne voted no and yes.
Did you pass me? I'm sure. Hello?
She tried to call you, but there was noise on the line. What's your vote?
Oh, yeah. I vote in solidarity with Palestinians, and I vote no for the extension.
That's a contradiction.
Yes, right. Mr. Chair, can you clarify that there's only one vote, not two votes?
You can express your opinion about Palestine, but the only vote right now is to extend so we can continue with the business.
Mr. Chair, this is Polina. We just lost our secretary. Yeah.
Hello, this is Harvey. I vote no on the extension. I have to go. Thank you for a very nice meeting. I appreciate it.
Was anybody else recording the votes?
I was, Bella.
I was too. I got most of them. This is Beth.
Okay. So there's a question in the chat of the two vote elections at the same time. The answer is no. We're voting on the extension. What was the vote so far on the extension?
Okay. So I have no, I have yes. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 yes. And no's, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 no.
All right, the chair votes yes. Did the secretary vote? I'm trying to see if I can.
Yes, she did. Yes, she did. She voted yes.
Yeah, I got bumped off. I'm on back.
Oh, okay. All right, so.
I didn't get to vote. This is Beth. I didn't get to vote.
Okay, complete the tally then, Janine.
Okay, well, I kind of missed some of the votes, but Beth, are you a yes or a no?
I'm an abstention.
So that's a yes? Yeah. And then
No, that's an abstention.
Oh, abstention. Okay, sorry.
She thought you said extension, not abstention. Beth, chair votes yes.
Okay, well, I'm not sure if I missed some of the votes, so I could read them back, but I don't know whether Bella has a better idea.
Why don't you go over the votes, please?
Okay, so I've got Fred Blair as a no, Bella DeSoto is a yes, Jan no, Eric yes, Azealia no, Ali no, Michael Novick yes, Lydia yes, Lawrence yes, Rocio yes, Paul, yes. Janine, yes. Mansoor, I didn't get yours.
No.
Okay.
I voted no.
Oscar?
He voted yes.
He voted yes. Okay. Polina, I don't have. So is she
a yes?
Yes. Okay. And then Beth is a no?
No, Beth abstained.
Oh, abstain. And Harvey?
Was a no.
Harvey,
no.
Jim is trying to get in, he says. I don't know.
So I have...
Jim is trying to get in, so you need to count his vote.
I think you missed Robert Payne.
Okay.
Robert Payne voted no.
Robert voted no on the chat.
And Jim is trying to get in.
I don't know. He's not showing up in the waiting room. I don't know where he's trying
to get in. Okay, so, I mean, he's been gone the whole meeting.
No, he's not been gone the whole meeting.
No offense, but
you can't make that decision.
He has been absent. He has been
He's not showing up in the waiting room. I don't know where he's trying to get in, but it's not on this call.
So we have 10 yeses, 6 noes, 1 abstain for 17 votes without the chair.
Thank you. That's
with the chair.
Well, it requires 2/3.
Well, that means we didn't get it.
Michael, yes. I have that motion. Michael, in the chat, you'll look at the bottom of my motion where I put the text in of my succinct motion on Israel-Palestine. I put a request that there be an extension discreetly to allow consideration and a vote on my Israel-Palestine succinct motion. Could we possibly at least get to that only?
Mr. Chair? The next town hall event needs to be announced.
Well, I'm going to say that we'll take the extension. There were a lot of people who wanted to vote for the Palestine motion who did not want to vote for the extension. So,
can we extend it to 30?
Jan Goodman moved that we have simply a vote on the Palestinian issue. The text is there. People can vote yes or no, and then in the meeting.
I second. Lauren seconds.
Okay.
Thank you, Jan.
Mr. Chair.
And Fred seconds, too.
But please stop talking. Are there any objections to extending long enough to hear the Palestine motion?
Just voting, not hearing.
I'm...
Mr. Chair?
Yes,
this
that's
is
what
Bella.
You mean. Are you objecting to taking up the Palestine motion, Bella?
The town hall event needs to be announced.
We could do that through an announcement, Chair. Thank you.
An announcement after the meeting it's expired. Are there any objections?
Michael, the motion should be read.
Yeah, read the motion, and then we'll see if there are any objections to your motion. Read your motion, Mr. Jacobson.
The motion reads as follows. The KPFK LSB condemns in the strongest terms Israel's ongoing serial acts of wanton oppression of the Palestinian people, including but not limited to Israel's use of excessive lethal military force, which has produced a horrifying rising Palestinian death toll. And the KPFK LSB urgently calls upon President Biden and his administration, parentheses, who have the power to do so, parentheses closed, to bring these ongoing oppressive acts, including use of excessive lethal military force by Israel, to an immediate and enduring halt by any and all means the president deems necessary, period. I respectfully request passage without lengthy debate, if any be needed, by unanimous consent. That's it.
Okay. Any objection to that motion by unanimous consent?
I'd like to move to amend. Can you reread the president deems necessary, that portion of it again?
Yes, I divided it into two paragraphs, and in the second paragraph you're referring to reads, and the KPFK LSB urgently calls upon President Biden and his administration, parentheses, who have the power to do so, parentheses closed, to bring these ongoing oppressive acts, including use of excessive lethal military force by Israel, to an immediate and enduring halt by any and all means the president deems necessary, period.
I would like to amend the last three words.
Mm-hmm.
That, I mean, it's, I hate to say it, but it's, he's not deeming it necessary right now. So, you know, if you take away the last three words, it doesn't, I don't know. Am I making sense?
This is Paulina.
And this is Bella.
I'm sorry. Did the maker of the motion want to take out, strike the words the president deems and just leave by any and all means necessary?
Does anybody else have an issue with that language?
Nope. This is Paulina. I do. I agree with Janine.
I agree with Janine as well. I would just strike if you just strike the words the president deems, just say by any and all means necessary.
I'll agree to that. I'll consider that a friendly amendment.
Okay.
You could say reasonable means, but
no,
just strike the words.
I had it that way originally, to be honest, guys. So. I consider it a friendly amendment.
Okay, so having stricken the words the president deems, are there any objections to unanimous consent? Hearing none.
Jim to the stack.
Jim Osborne? Go ahead, and I don't see you, but I hear you. Go ahead.
Okay. I don't want to belabor the meeting or the vote, but I want to. I intend to abstain. If you make room for my abstention, I won't object to the presentation. I think you should make room for those people to intend on abstaining, and then the rest can be by acclamation if you want.
Okay,
otherwise, I object.
Okay. Are there other abstentions that want to be noted? Okay, hearing none, we'll say that was adopted by acclamation with the abstention from James Osborne.
Chair, Beth Von Kluten has her hand up. I'm not sure if that's for anything regarding this.
Beth, go ahead.
It's not on this. I just don't have any way of taking my hand down.
Okay.
It was for some prior issue. Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Chair, this is Bella.
Okay, so the meeting at this point is officially adjourned. There are some announcements people want to make. Feel free to make them.
Mr. Chair, this is Bella from the Outreach Committee.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yesterday, I sent the entire LSB the announcement for the next town hall, KPFK town hall event via Zoom conference. And all the information was sent out with an imagery. The new IGM has also been submitted the copy for the announcement on air and for website with image. So he is equipped with everything. And so I hope to see you, all of you, on the 22nd of May, which is Saturday, this coming next Saturday at 3 p.m. Be there, be square, and join in and share in the fun.